The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that?
Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Driver!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. And once again, the Patriots are undefeated. Again, since 2007, the first time they've been 4-0, which...
Again.
Yep. So, good stuff. And
you called it.
Well, I didn't exactly call it. Let's face it. You know, I just couldn't have no one on this show, you know, backing the team. So I had to do that.
They are undefeated in games in which everybody picks against them. Right, Paul?
Yeah,
I can't hear you.
That would be my fault. I did not have my mic on.
They mentioned it post game. Clearly, that was a talking point this week in their motivational Belichick.
And you know, I actually heard
everybody
Rob
picking
Ninkovich.
The team. Nobody gave us a chance.
Although in this one, they're right. No one picked them
except Mike Ditka.
Very few people. I mean,
he doesn't know who he's picking at this point.
This particular case, almost. It's never universal, but almost every prediction I saw had the Falcons in this game.
Yeah,
nationally, I'm talking. I'm not talking about us idiots in PFW. Nationally, almost all of the guys that talked about this game thought Atlanta would win.
And let's face it, there were good reason for that. And let's talk about, you know, right off the bat about the game Sunday night. First web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number if you want to call in. When the Patriots went up 17, I have to admit, I was surprised. I was surprised at how well their game plan worked. And I believe that the game plan was to really take away the receivers and, you know, you don't allow a guy like Tony Gonzalez, but, you know, that was the guy. If someone was going to, you know, get the numbers, it was going to be Gonzalez because he's not going to get behind us. You're not going to give up the big play with him. And I think it worked. Even with Vince Wilfork going out in the first quarter, I think they were able to stop the run adequately enough to, you know, create the third down situations. And then, I think Tlaib, as we've seen up to this point, continues to be the difference maker. He is the guy that, you know, over the last few years when we were, you know, yelling about Patriots not being able to get off the field, that was the difference.
And when we said one guy, one corner you could rely on makes you better.
Yeah.
He's proving it.
He really does.
That one corner can make you better.
I mean, we're seeing firsthand, you know, the value of a shutdown corner in the NFL. There's not a lot of them. You know, and I was thinking yesterday, like, you know, in my time of watching NFL, there's Deion Sanders, Darrell Revis, okay, just corner. Sanders returned kicks and everything, so his value went beyond that. But just as a shutdown corner, Sanders, Revis, and then everybody else. And there's a tier there with Tlaib. And there's not a lot of people in his tier either, you know?
Well, I don't want to put him too high Right now he's playing really well, and he is arguably the most important Patriot. I think you can argue he's on par with Tom Brady right now in terms of team importance. But in terms of 30 years worth of corners, I'd like
to... Oh, no, I'm just talking about right now in the NFL. For right now, you know, as far as shutdown corners in the NFL, there aren't a lot of them.
Oh,
guys
no.
who really are shutdown
corners.
Oh, no,
he's playing among the elite right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you meant
Because you had said Deion Sanders
Revis.
And Revis, and I was like, Darryl Green
and
Nia Williams.
No, over the
Ty Law.
Ty Law.
Oh, yeah, over the course of time. But I think that the tier below Revis in terms of ability, that there's a large group of them, but right now, and Tlaib's in that group. And as far as players playing now, there aren't a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a lot of them.
Yeah, I would say today, based on he's been terrific, and Andy just said that he's, you know, arguably been the best. I just wrote that. I'm working on my commentary, and I think he's been the best Patriot.
Yeah,
in September,
he's played a real difference.
He's played the best of anyone in the Patriots. You could argue that Brady's more important, but Tlaib has played better than Brady.
I mean, and I know it sounds simplistic, but don't you think inserting him into the lineup over the last 3 or 4 years, we wouldn't be talking about the Patriots having the worst ranked pass defense in the league?
Well, yes. If he played like
just that one person,
if he played like this, absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
And even now, I think they could do a better job with the pass rush. If the my mic just went out.
I can still hear you.
No, it didn't. I'm just adjusting it.
Oh, okay.
You were a little hot.
Even now, I think, you know, the pass rush could be better. Could you imagine if the pass rush was like 20% better, how much better the defense would be as a whole?
Sure.
Because of Tlaib.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, the problem we're talking about is it's so about him. Like, your margin for error is
if
he goes out,
if he goes
and
down,
he's a guy that's had injury problems throughout his career. We saw it last year where he battled the hip a little bit here, and then he goes out in the title game. You know, a lot of tweets were coming out. I think Skip Bayless was very active tweeting after the game. If Aqib Tlaib hadn't gone out, the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
If he hadn't gone out against the Ravens.
I retweeted that.
So
he finally said something smart.
I love when we pick and choose the idiocy that we, that we back up.
But the only thing that I really find funny from this game is I agree with you 100%. I thought the defense did what they wanted to do. You know, they didn't really have to shut down the run because they didn't really run 15 carries.
Times.
And so that's a game where I think you can get by without Vince. That might be different in other stretches, other places. But then you look at the stats, and it's so funny. Matt Ryan throws for 420 yards. He completes 69% of his passes. He has like 100-and-something passer rating. And in the history books, like when I go back on that, I really don't remember him playing that. I thought he sucked.
He was terrible.
I thought he sucked. And I thought
he
you know my eyeball test?
Yeah.
He wilted. You know, as elite, I wrote this, $100 million just doesn't go as far as it used to with franchise quarterback. That's supposed to be a franchise quarterback. It's supposed to be the guy that carries you. And I thought he was just not good. I thought he wilted.
He looked particularly bad on, you know, plays where he was supposed to be on the run and just overthrowing guys.
Well, he had that, the fourth down play early. I mean, that could have changed the entire game. And I know he's running to his left, but.
Easy throw.
I think anybody makes that throw. And if you complete the whole butterfly effect of that game could change if you get that first down, score, whatever there. I just was not impressed with him. I wasn't really impressed with Julio Jones. I know he talked about it post-game about, you know, there was some pushing, there was some grabbing, but you got to play.
But you got to play.
I think that was in his head.
Yeah,
I think he wilted with the matchup against Aqib Tlaib, and I thought they did a good job actually of mixing that up. It was Tlaib on Jones, and then it wasn't always. They kind of moved it around with the safeties and Dennard. I thought they did a really good job. But I just thought overall, the Falcons kind of wilted. You know, the team that Paul says, a soft team, pressure, all that. I think that's what we saw.
And
I don't want to take anything from the Patriots.
Yeah. I'm not.
They won
no.
their matchup.
This is a terrific
win. They did
win.
What they needed to do.
Nope.
But not ready for prime time, the Falcons.
Yeah.
And that's why they're 1-3. And
you know, I thought for the first time this year, I think for the first time this year, I could honestly say the offensive line won that battle. The Patriots. I mean, they were really, you know, pushing the Falcons around.
And the first time this year, they were given the chance.
Yeah.
I mean, Logan talked about that yesterday, that Josh was calling the run. You know, he was joking. Because you remember that long, the long pass was a screen. So that's not really even a pass play on that 12-play scoring drive. So Logan was joking, I don't even know if I can pass block tonight. We haven't had to do it yet.
Like, yeah.
They were excited. They were having fun. They knew they should impose their will, and they went out and did it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not often asked to do that, and I think they enjoyed the fact that they were.
Yeah, I think this was a great, a really well-coached game on the Patriots' part. The only downside was all the illegal formation and shifts. Now, I don't know, and I was hoping somebody would ask Bill, about that. Why so many in one game? Was it something they were trying? Was it
well? Some were circumstantial, like that Bolden one is bad luck.
That was
you
really
can't
bad
hear because of the crowd. A million times, a running back has stepped up to hear what the quarterback is saying. He just didn't get back in time. Like it, that was bad luck.
I was wondering if it was just to answer your question, just the result of
just
being
crowd
in
noise?
The dome. Yeah, yeah. Because another one, Edelman seemed to be sort of where he thought he was going to be, where he needed to be when the ball was snapped, and he sort of. He peeked back in, and he was kind of moving a little bit forward. I think Andy's right. I think there were communication issues there. But you mentioned the coaching. I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the adjustment they made on Gonzalez at the end of the game.
Right.
To just absolutely say, you know what? You can't throw to anybody but this guy because you haven't thrown an accurate pass all night. See, that's why I totally agree with Andy. It wasn't just the big plays. Was there a throw that – like. Brady threw a throw to Mulligan for the touchdown.
Right, in a coin slot, I said.
That was an unbelievable throw. Right. I mean, you use your thing, Andy. It goes down in history. You go, oh, 1 yard touchdown pass
one
to Matthew
catch,
Mulligan.
1 yard
touchdown. That was an unbelievable throw.
Right. And it was a quick
Matt
look,
Ryan
too.
Didn't make anything close right. to that all night where I saw where his completions, I said, wow, what a really nice throw right there.
He
all
did
his
make
throws,
one nice throw.
All his
got
throws
it over
were,
Jamie Collins on the sideline and in front of the corner.
You know,
it's the only one I can point
Gonzalez
to.
Gonzalez just made, you know, made the plays for him, but they just said, you are not going to throw the ball to Tony Gonzalez down here.
Right.
We're going to treat you like the gunner on the punt team, as Collinsworth put it, and they absolutely attacked him.
Now, some people think they were holding and they were getting away with a lot of
but,
crap.
But you know what? The way the game was called Sunday night,
right.
That was the way the game was being called. If they had thrown a flag on that last drive, as a Patriot fan, I would have been irate because
right.
they let it go all night. Right. On both sides, I thought... The one call they made to me was an obvious one on Tlaib. You know, no, I'm not getting on Tlaib or anything because he was out of his mind. He played so well. But the last play, the fourth down play, absolutely you could have called something on Tlaib. He was grabbing white shirt all the way across. You could have called holding on Dobson in the end zone. He was getting held the whole time. There was several times.
The one time they did call holding, it was on Sudfeld going out for a pass.
Yeah, oh, and that was a good call.
Yeah. It was a great.
That was a good call.
On the blog, I had to admit that I broke press box decorum on that play because I was like, are you kidding me? They're holding him. I yelled it out.
And I'm sure you yelled it when, you know, that replay that they showed all four Falcons receivers with guys with their arms around them.
No,
it reminded me of Patriots Colts.
That's exactly what it was like.
They show that highlight, and literally every Patriot has his hands on the Falcons receiver like it was the old days with Pollard, and they're getting like spun around. And it was like the officials turned back the clock a decade and said, what illegal contact, what holding, we don't call those anymore.
Yeah.
For both sides, they called it a certain way.
And that's why if they had called
maybe Reese can tell me if that crew is known for...
It's Walt Coleman's crew.
Yeah, but
I don't have a memory of what that means, what the scouting report on that crew is.
Well, we like him.
But, you know, if they had called Mayo on one of those, because it wasn't just physical. They were holding Gonzalez on the line. But if they had called that, I would have been if I were Belichick, I would have gone absolutely ballistic. And you know he was a ticking time bomb anyway.
Because they told him the replay machine.
Based on the multi-billion dollar replay machine that didn't work on a play that I think was going to be an incomplete pass, by the way. I mean, it's a completion. He caught it and all that stuff. But the NFL doesn't allow catches. Unless the guy takes it home with him and puts it, you know, in his pants.
I was
right.
I thought it was a catch, but you could say that, okay, he didn't get 2 feet down.
It was the same as Edelman crossing against the Jets.
Yeah.
He caught it. He got 2 feet down and got hit. And the ball got knocked out. They said it was an incomplete pass. That's what the NFL says.
My new thing, Fred, and I always say this to Paul, they wouldn't call it a touchdown. Like, I always try to put in my mindset, would they give a guy a touchdown on that? Had he made that play, they would not have given him a touchdown. They would have said he did not complete securing the catch or whatever.
And I agree with that.
So I try to keep that as my mentality now. They have this, like, extended catch where you have to, like Paul says, put it in your pants and bring it home with you.
The Calvin Johnson rules.
Yeah, basically the Calvin Johnson rules.
Yep.
Every time he catches the ball, if he doesn't bring it back to the sideline with him, they call it incomplete.
Another aspect of the Tlaib, a minor little thing here. You know how we like him because he's funny to hear, funny to talk, you know, manner. Did you see after his pick when he went and sat on the bench and put his arms back and crossed his feet?
Did you see it?
He has that cornerback showman.
I saw screenshots of
he
it.
He has the showmanship.
The screenshot was hilarious, but if you saw him actually go over, it was almost
it
like.
It was awesome.
Yeah? Yeah? Now what you got?
It was awesome.
Right. What else you want me to do?
He has, and I know we have fully embraced a guy who had a checkered past and call us homers or whatever.
Guilty.
But from the day he's
been
here, he's been nothing but fun. But he's injected There was fun to the athlete.
There was another play.
I got to say it. Pay the man. I mean, there's 3 months of the season
left.
Pay
the man, though?
And if he gets hurt, pay the man.
$50 million.
Pay the man.
There was another play earlier in the game.
Now, listen, a lot can happen between now and then.
That's his welker to Glacier.
No, you get hurt. I mean, like you mentioned on the top of the show, this
who
is
are you,
guy,
Scoop Volin or Ben Pulitzer?
He's got some kind of...
A lot can happen between now and then? Is that like Friday
to
Sunday?
The guy could get hurt.
Yeah, like Friday to Sunday. Gronkowski's going to play, and a lot can happen.
There are 12 regular season games remaining in the season.
Easy, Ben Pulitzer.
Not a flight from Boston to Atlanta. Well, in this case, Providence to Atlanta. I mean, there's a little difference there, don't you think?
Well, a lot could happen with him, too. I mean, we've had a nice honeymoon here for
I happen to agree with the propaganda being lobbied.
So 50 million, I'm being serious now.
I don't necessarily agree with the last year thing. I don't think he was healthy. And I don't think that – I think the same thing was going to happen whether he stayed in the game against Baltimore or not. I don't think he was anywhere near as effective when he played last year as he has been in the four games this year. I see a totally different player.
Well, certainly, and his picks are far more impressive.
Well, there was an early
play – no one's hitting him in the chest. He's actually breaking on balls.
There was an early play where Ryan sent Julio Jones on a go route down the left sideline, and Tlaib was absolutely just hip-to-hip with him the whole way.
Report is being verified.
Uh-oh. Our alarm is going off right now. So we're told to remain calm.
I'm being told to remain calm.
So we're going to remain calm.
Follow me to freedom.
All right.
This ain't going to affect our food order, is it?
Yeah. All right.
We could die, but Paul's worried about it.
Anyway, I'll try to talk over the woman speaking on the loudspeaker.
Should we check to see if we need to do
something?
No,
fine.
Can I smash that thing? Shut it up?
So
I don't think that's appropriate.
Julio Jones is going down the left sideline.
He tells us he's going to keep talking, but then he stops.
Not only was he hip to hip with him, and Julio Jones has got some speed,
yep.
But he was looking back for the ball.
Yes. I mean,
it's amazing how that happens when you have tight coverage, how you can look back for the ball.
Right.
When you're 5 yards behind the guy and you look back for the ball, you give up touchdowns.
Right.
That's what happens. The key to your sentence was he was hip to hip with the guy.
Right.
That allows you to look back and make a play.
Should we take a commercial break or something?
Yeah, let's take a break.
I'm a little concerned about
let's
the
take a break.
State
we'll be
of
right
affairs.
Back.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York,
and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so we're gonna. So this cafeteria turns into a hotel, and now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino, and Gino has no pants on. Gino Capoletti, and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was hang attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, we're back here in PFW in progress. Apparently, the alarm was just a drill. No need for concern. So we're all still here. And yes, Paul, it will not affect our lunch order.
I hope not.
Yeah. So,
There's like fire engines outside, and the person with the order is like, I got to get through. Paul said I have to get this there.
Emailer says...
Evidently, it interrupted the Belichick press conference as well.
One of our emailers is wondering, is this the same crew hosting PFW as the last couple of weeks? Well, all it takes is a big win in Atlanta to turn these guys around, although Eric's not here, so...
Wait, so I shouldn't be giving them credit for their best win of the season?
No, you should.
Well, tell me what you want, listeners. I'll say they suck. They're not good. They haven't beaten anybody because, in my eyes, Julio Jones and Matt Ryan wilted under the pressure of the lights. They're not that good. Mike Smith's not that good. Patriots are still a fraudulent 4-0. Is that what you want? Can I not acknowledge that they had their best win of the year?
It's not a matter of what they want. That's what they would have expected.
Well, but here's the thing.
But I saw them beat a talented team, and I said they beat a talented team. I didn't fixate on the fact that they nearly threw the game away with a horrific final 6 minutes, or that Zach Sudfeld almost cost them the game, or that they got away with penalties or anything else. Uh-oh.
We still have flashing
lights again. I gave them credit for a good win.
Doesn't it? I don't know. To me, when guys, you know, like it went, Teddy Bruschi picked the Patriots to win. You know, we talked about how everybody picked Atlanta in this game. Teddy Bruschi picked the Patriots. That doesn't mean anything to me. Teddy Bruschi's a Patriot.
He was like, on the field 2 weeks ago doing, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I know, and that's not, he is a Patriot. He should be picking the Patriots. Right. That's no disrespect to Teddy. What I'm saying is, if some other guy.
Paul, we are all Patriots.
If Tom Jackson, who has a reputation being a hater, right? If he says something about how the game plan was effective and they did this, that means a lot more to me as a Patriot fan. The fact that I could sit here, I could be a hater if I wanted to, and I could come up with 10 ways why that win wasn't as impressive as people are making it out to be. But that's stupid. They went on the road and they beat a team that has a talented roster in their own building in a game that went right down to the last play, and they easily could have given up a touchdown late and blown that 17-point lead, and who knows what happens in overtime. But that's not what happened. They made the plays to win. You won the game because you were able to go 2-for-3 in the red zone, and the other team went 1-for-6. That's good, strong play. I could be a hater if you want that, but to me it means a lot more when people that sort of were not expecting you to win, and then they come around and said, wow, What an impressive win by the team.
Sam wants to know if the alarms are going off because maybe Hernandez is out on parole.
Well, the federal government shutdown.
Yeah, know. Maybe they all the prison locks opened.
All the doors just opened.
Let them all go.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by.
The other thing we need to talk about, obviously, is Vince Wilfork.
Yep.
Bill Belichick on EI yesterday confirmed that he's most likely out for the season.
So what did he confirm?
Yeah. So
that he's most likely out.
So the question is,
well, that was a step up from the previous conference call
that he had no
he
further
really had no idea.
Well, maybe at that point he didn't, you know. But
they knew he tore his Achilles Sunday night. Yes or no?
The question, I don't know. They didn't have any X-rays then.
Can't tell on an X-ray. It's an MRI.
There's
some injuries so bad you don't need to have the test. They know immediately.
I didn't have an X-ray or an MRI on my
Achilles. Think that Shalice found out shortly after the game? Do you think she made it up? Or do you think somebody told Vince Wilfork and he told somebody, I haven't a torn Achilles?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I still haven't heard, you know, what exactly the injury is, you know, whether
torn
it's
Achilles.
A bad tear or a ruptured Achilles or
same
whatever.
Thing.
Is it the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Tore his Achilles.
A torn Achilles is a ruptured Achilles. Same
it
thing. Now, you could have a slight tear where it's not completely
partial
all the way through, but
it's not severed.
I would be stunned if this is not.
Yeah. Anyway, he's gone. So the question is, now what?
So he wasn't that good to begin with then.
No,
right?
But he does play an archaic position.
Well, now, well, hold on for a second.
That
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think this is a huge loss.
Really?
I think off the field, this is an enormous loss.
Yes.
On the field, they can get by.
That's actually the first thing I thought of is who's going to walk through the locker room with a robe on when a young player's doing something stupid and just give him a dirty look? Because I think that's his value there is as grand as
so
it is
So you don't
anywhere.
Believe that the Patriots will have to pick somebody up? Put him on the roster?
Well, yes, they're going to need depth there. They don't have anybody.
They probably need to find someone to replace the Chris Jones spot or the Joe Villano.
By the way,
the meatball
now
is really starting to pick up, by the way.
Tommy Kelly signing is huge now. Veteran leadership, experience. I feel better about this because of him than I necessarily would if it was, you know, Brandon Dedrick, Joe Villano, and
absolutely
the other guy.
The two-pronged part of that, too, is Armand Armstead. Now, he would be eligible to start practicing in another week, you know, after the Week 6 game. But he was a guy that was sort of, kind of like a project to begin with, coming from Canada, you know, coming back. He has talent, we know that. So did that really put him back? Did that push him back, his development? Because he didn't get a chance to do anything in training camp, hasn't practiced in a while.
But neither did Chris Jones.
Right, so we're looking at a situation where
Chris Jones
he's not able to... Chris Jones wasn't with the Patriots in training camp, but he played.
No, I know, but
this guy hasn't done anything for football in months.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal.
Really?
So
I'm not expecting him to come in and be an All-Pro.
Plus, we don't even know what his illness is. We don't know if the illness.
Well, that's my problem.
Well, that's
I have no
part.
Idea.
Like,
if
I don't know.
Did it cause him to lose weight?
Right. And that was the second part of my two-pronged. You know, the whole situation where everybody assumes, well, he's eligible after Week 6. Yeah, he is. Is he ready?
Right.
I don't know. The last I heard, he had surgery for an infection. It's the last we've heard from the Patriots about Armstead.
He had a vague sentence that made it sound like, you know, expectations are hopeful or something. He used one of those phrases.
To live or to play?
To come back
expectations
and play football.
Expectations are hopeful.
No.
What is that?
It was definitely a positive spin on his football status. The phraseology.
Well, that mean that his career's not over, or that
no,
he's
that
gonna
after
be ready
week
in week
six,
seven.
He could that he's an option. That he is an option to be a depth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've kind of written him off. I mean,
well, I hadn't written him off. I think he's a talented
I'm
guy.
I'm using the Fred Kirsch. We just don't know.
Well,
I haven't seen him forever. I don't like
Fred. I told you when you got home from Atlanta. Never has your phraseology been more true.
Right.
I mean, all around. You know, the whole you can't judge the schedule thing. You know. What happens if Atlanta goes 4-12?
Right.
Then what do
bad
we do?
Bad win.
Right.
You barely beat a bad team.
Exactly.
Then what do we do? You know?
Well, we do know
what, you know,
that Buffalo Week 1 win is much better than we thought it was.
What if they go 4-12?
They're a good team.
They're on the way to going 4-12.
They're a good team.
That win over Tennessee a year ago was really good because they're starting to put it together.
I do want to know if Eric is revamping his prediction. What was he, 8-8? Is that what
7-9.
9-7.
9-7.
9-7.
Yeah.
I put 10-6 in the paper to quote, save him from himself.
Yeah.
So they
he wasn't
five
there to
wins
do
away.
It.
They need to win 5 out of the next 12.
All right, the lines are stacking up. Let's go to him on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
You know, the only thing I'll
Dwight's
say is,
in Alabama. Hey, Dwight.
In Eric's defense, he's only been wrong once.
Roll Tide.
Thank you, Andy. I was at the game Sunday night. It was amazing. Met so many Patriot fans.
So, Dwight, I think it was great that there were so many Patriots fans, but I do have an issue with y'all. And one of the thing was when it was like just Patriots fans at the end and Atlanta was starting to make their comeback, why weren't you guys making noise when Matt Ryan was on the field? You guys could have turned it into a home field advantage, but nobody was yelling when the Falcons were on offense.
Because we knew the game was over.
But it wasn't. That's my point.
Yes, it was.
Oh. Okay. All right. Because I was like, I was in the press box.
We knew that Matt Ryan wasn't going to hit that guy in the end zone.
I was in the press box and was all Patriots fans in the stand. I'm like, why aren't they yelling?
Because when the score was 20-10, Falcons fans were already leaving.
I know. That's my point.
Who cares what the Falcons fans are doing?
But my point is you could have made life miserable for Matt Ryan. It would have been funny, too, to hear.
He was making life miserable for himself.
No, I know. But I just thought it would have been really funny to have everybody screaming in the Georgia Dome while the Falcons were on offense.
Yeah, it was a great experience. The only thing I would change is take Zach Sudfeld off of special teams. But other than that, the game was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. I love it when Patriots fans take over an away.
Yeah, Zach Sudfeld's positive play percentage is very, very low.
Yeah, right not now. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be the next great tight end.
I have one more question. I know it's a little over 7 or 8 months from now, but in the NBA draft, NFL draft next year, is Colt Lyerla a senior this year from Oregon?
Who?
Colt Lyerla.
Sorry, I'm not really familiar with him.
We get into the draft in January.
I understand that, but
I never heard that name doesn't even ring a bell to me. That doesn't mean he's not a great player, right?
No. If you watch enough Oregon games, he is a great player.
I said I don't know that he's not a great player. I'm not familiar with that name. What position does
he
play?
He's tight end, number 15.
Oh. Okay.
Tight end.
We'll keep an eye on him.
Is he a first-round pick?
He has first-round talent.
Yeah, I don't want him then. I don't want to draft a tight end in the first round.
No. I said he has the talent. I didn't say we have to draft him in the first round.
Well, if he's a first – no, okay. I don't know anything about
a lot
about
of arguing
that.
Going on about someone none of us
all right, well, yeah, well, that's why I said I don't know anything about the guy.
We'll keep an eye on the Oregon tight end.
We'll take Artie Lynch. Artie Lynch I like. Probably a second, third-round prospect.
If he's a first-round guy.
Let's go to Miami.
And we don't take him in the first round.
Hey, Marcus.
How many?
Two.
Okay.
What's up, Marcus?
For 26.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Well, we're just 4-0, baby.
See, I could have done a national guy right there and said, oh, yeah, he's a tremendous player. I never heard that name in my life, so I'm not going to pretend
I didn't
know
even
him.
Know what he was saying.
I had never heard of that guy. I thought he was talking about the cornerback, the skinny one. But anyway, I mean, I called you guys, Thursday, and I was a little insulted by the line that the Vegas gave us, and we blew that out the water. Even though it was a little chippy at the end, I wasn't really nervous amongst all those my hometown fans. I'm actually from Atlanta, but a Patriots fan, it's not my fault. We're winners, and they're not. Clearly, you've
seen
that.
That's true. I did see that, and my eyes were opened. They are not winners.
No, they're not winners. But the thing about it is I mean, our defense. I mean, do you think that are we approaching top 10 defense here? I mean, our average of points is it's down there. I mean, no one really.
You were top 10 last year in average of points, so I see no reason why you wouldn't be this year.
Yeah, points is one thing. Yeah, they'll be up there. But the problem is, you know, you have a game like last game, and even though it was a convincing win for the Patriots, they had over 400 yards passing. So the way the NFL computes it is it's passing, you know, it's yards.
Well, that's one of the ways that generally when people say defense, they're talking about yardage.
Right.
Top 10 defense, yardage. That's,
right. So that hurts them, even though, yeah, they did really well on defense, you know.
But see, that's the thing about it that burned me the most was, like, you've probably seen it, like, everybody but I think Coach Dicka and the sports world picked the Falcons.
But why does that bother? I don't understand why that bothers Patriots fans.
It's a respect thing.
But so if they don't pick the Patriots to win every game they ever play, that's a respect thing.
Well, no, but use common sense. Like, oh, they're giving us 1 point against the Bengals. Look what the Bengals did. They couldn't even score against the Browns. I don't care if they have our ex-quarterback, Brian Hoyer. They couldn't score against the Browns.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Bengals game. I'm talking about the Falcons game. What was so disrespectful about the Falcons being favored to win that game? I don't really understand that.
They just lost to the Dolphins.
So
they
what?
Weren't really...
Marcus,
I
think you're just looking for a little bit more even-handedness. Like, you know, maybe half of the people picked.
No, he's talking about the spread was disrespectful. Oh. He said the spread was. I don't really get that.
I just don't remember the times that us being,
That's what I said. If they're underdogs in any game, you're going to take that as disrespect.
I just do, man. I'm a Patriots fan. I mean, you guys do this for a living. We're just the fans.
That's
but,
right.
I mean, Mark. I don't know.
Stick up.
Going forward, what do you guys think? I mean, I think we had impressive win. Guys, you talked about this last week that one of you guys are going to do cartwheels if we get through this little three-game stretch without Danny, without Gronk. I mean, we did pretty good without our key players, the guys that make a chunk of the money besides Brady and Vince.
Keep saying that?
Tom Brady.
I mean, going into this.
Can't stop whining about it.
Endlessly. Going into this stretch of three games, we were like, geez, you know, if they can be two out of three in this. That's a victory.
I still feel that way.
I mean, you're going into Cincinnati. Don't you feel better about going into Cincinnati now than you did two
Absolutely.
Weeks ago?
Absolutely.
Well, for both ways.
Well, I also felt better about
well and
right
Cincy
because
didn't.
We know now a little bit more about both teams.
But I also felt better about last week going into the game than I did 2 weeks earlier. I felt much better going into Atlanta than I did 2 weeks ago.
Me too.
I would have said
I had
the Falcons
52-2 in the summer. 52-2 in the summer.
After the Jets game, I would have said there's no possible way they beat Atlanta. After Tampa, I wasn't saying that.
And that was both teams. That was one team improving, and Atlanta not playing up to their resume coming into the season.
Their potential, so, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I one more question, guys. You know we're about 12 or 13 million under the cap. Do you think are we pushing for that to spill over next year? Because, I mean, obviously, it's looking like Tlaib, we're going to have to pay him to keep his services, or... Do you see us making a move, or is it just the cap? I mean, we're a good team with a lot of cap space. Do you think that's just going to spill over to the next year, or see us making a move?
Or now.
3 days ago, I would have said, yeah, probably. But maybe they'd spend something on a guy sitting on the sideline to replace Vince.
No.
And maybe they extend Tlaib, or actually not extend him, but... You know, sign them early.
But to me, that's the same as pushing it to next year. I'd be stunned if they use up cap money, quote unquote, on a fill-in. I mean, the one guy who's an option.
All right, Marcus, thanks.
See you, Marcus.
The one guy who's an option is Seymour, and he said, no way. So who else are you going to spend any significant
money?
By the way, that's
and he wants money, and there's no way I would pay. I wouldn't pay
anything. Well, I wouldn't pay anybody. I mean, you're talking about eating. To me, eating into the cap would be like if they gave somebody like a $2 or $3 million deal right now.
Right.
And
that's what I think Seymour wants. And if he wanted to come in for the minimum, I would say sure.
Well,
but
this one actually made it sound like even that was not.
No,
yeah,
by the way, Ron, he's thinking
$5 million.
Right.
Ron Borges wrote that, you know, he was asked about it and he laughed at the idea. They played the interview on EEI. He did not laugh at the idea. He simply said, you know, I love my time there. I have a lot of fond memories, but I think that time has passed.
That's all
he said.
What interview did EEI play?
The one
from the summer?
No.
Didn't Borges just talk to him?
Well, yeah, this was yesterday.
That's how I read it. I don't know how
Borges heard an interview.
Oh, that's not what I had heard. I heard Borges talk to him.
That's not what I read.
This is an
either.
Interview that they just had yesterday with Richard Seymour.
Who's they?
But who's they?
It was like Sporting News Radio or something like that.
Yeah, because I think Seymour,
did he
Borges
say, quote, no way, chuckle, and that's bad news about Vince? Because that's what Ron wrote.
Yeah. There was no laughing whatsoever in the interview.
But it's the same interview.
I don't think it's the same interview.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
In the interview that I heard that they played on EEI and they were making fun of Ron because they were like,
yeah, but they're idiots.
He's not laughing here.
But that's two different things. It's like I could talk to Vince and he could say something to me and then he could have a press conference and say something different.
EEI was assuming the way they said it,
surprised.
That this is what Borges based his
Who's
report.
Who's EEI, by the way?
It was Salk and Holly. During the Salk and Holly.
Because I heard Borges this morning with Dennis and Callahan talking about it, and he just said that, you know, Richard has an idea in his head of how much money he wants, and he actually said, frankly, I'm not sure that, you know, he's going to get that anyway. That's why he's still out of work. He had a chance to go to Atlanta. Atlanta wanted him, but they wanted to sign him for the minimum, and he said no.
Don't you think there's a chance he just doesn't really want to play?
Exactly,
like,
and that's the other reason why I wouldn't do it.
Off.
Well, at this point,
that's
you know,
what he's
what's
saying.
He been doing? Is
and,
he been working
and,
out?
And
you
he even
know.
Said, and Borges even took a shot at Seymour saying, listen, you know, to you and I, $1 million is a lot of money, but he doesn't look at it that way. And, you know, to each his own, I think is how we put it. Listen, this could be another example of Borges, you know, sort of manipulating the facts, but he made it sound like he spoke to Seymour.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think this is the same thing that EEI is playing. The EEI wouldn't have access to Ron Borges' email with Seymour.
EEI was playing it up that this was what Borges was basing his quotes on.
Yeah. And I think that's wrong.
They were specifically saying, we don't hear any laughing here.
Yeah, I think that's completely wrong. Otherwise, Borges is even a bigger fraud than I thought.
Let's go to Nate in Southern California.
Because he certainly made it sound today like he spoke to Seymour.
Hey, Nate, what's up?
Hey, Brett, how you guys doing?
Good.
I wanted to call. It was a good, solid one on Sunday. One thing that I think we should really take away was the rookies were able to go into a really hostile environment and get some confidence. Although Dobson didn't look great, I don't really know what the status update is on him. It was good to see Tompkins get a touchdown in there. I think that's important, especially getting off to a real shaky start on the road, Sunday night game. I think that's one of the best things that could happen for him.
I agree.
Tompkins played well.
Yeah.
I mean,
Dobson did nothing.
Question.
And Julian Edelman, I mean, just ripping it up.
He had a great second half.
Yeah.
Do you know he has more catches through four games than he had the last 3 years?
I believe it.
It's 34 to 31 or 32.
Yeah.
So do you think with Will Fort going out, that's going to take away from our pass rush? Because he usually occupied, I mean, more than one guy, right?
I think so. I think
not on the pass rush.
Not only that, but he pushes the pocket. So, you know, it is a passing league, but it's a lot harder to pass when there's nowhere to step up to. And I think you can't diminish that value, that part of his value. You know, he does more than just occupy space like a Ted Washington. He's more than that. So just to call him a run-stuffing tackle is not fair.
Well, that said, we were talking about him being sort of invisible early this season. Remember last week, and was he hurt?
Right. Now, that's another issue. Is he playing up to that potential this year? And that's debatable.
The next step of that debate is, will he be back?
Yeah.
Getting into the final year that pays him, I believe, $7.5 million in salary next year.
Mm-hmm.
A 30-something-year-old who weighs 350-something pounds coming off an injury that Paul hasn't recovered from.
If the Patriots do well without him, that makes that decision tough.
No, but it also makes the decision tough just physically. I mean,
Paul, you would have never signed him in the first place.
Well, not for that contract. No, I wouldn't have. Well, Andy wouldn't have either.
Hopefully the Achilles got tore off completely from the bone, so it's not that
right.
Secure,
right?
Yeah, that's what we
don't really need.
Anytime anything's still attached,
good
that's
point.
Bad news.
Good point.
Good, Nate. All right. Thanks for the call.
I want to just clarify two things. The first time this comes in our clips from today that we get from the Boston Herald, Boston Globe. They're distributed throughout the stadium. Jerry Callahan actually paints the clearest of the pictures because he used the Borges quote in his column today. No way, close quote, the seven-time Pro Bowler said to the Herald's Ron Borges yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, so that's
Borges
a separate
just
thing.
Writes it as a quote. Borges doesn't say blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. He just
right.
said, Seymour said it, chuckled, and then said,
he didn't actually say it to Borges, and it was like some interview that Borges took it from, he certainly didn't paint that picture.
No, it's flat-out stealing.
Right.
I mean, that's inappropriate journalism.
Right. Borges,
I know you guys bristle if I call it plagiarism or whatever it's called, but if you write a story where you took a quote from somebody else's interview and don't acknowledge
you mean
that,
like what everybody does
that's
on Twitter?
Stealing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
do
agree.
That on Twitter a lot?
Oh, people, yeah. You see one guy writes something, and then a minute later, somebody else writes the same thing as if they had the story without attributing that they just heard it on somebody else's Twitter line.
The other part
– Twitter police.
Happens a lot.
The other part is in my guess. I don't know what Seymour did for media. I don't know if he had some sort of thing that he was available at or whatever, but he, on the record, had something from the summer on a radio show. And I forget what the radio show was, that he said that that book is closed. It was very respectful of the Patriots, but that he in no uncertain terms said that I believe he said something along the lines of that chapter has been written and it's closed, and I believe that the feeling is mutual or something like that with the Patriots. It was not disrespectful to the Patriots at all, but he made it clear that he would not be playing for the Patriots again in the future.
Does he go to the Patriots Hall of Fame?
And if that was what they played on the radio yesterday, that a clip from that interview, that was months ago.
Yeah, okay. Well,
maybe they're the ones who are being laughable and not playing
could
the
be.
Right thing.
That's what I'm
It could be.
That's what I think.
Ben Volen, get on him.
Let's go to
ridiculous drop.
Let's go to our favorite TV writer, Scoop John Poland. In L.A. Hey, John.
Hey, that was quite a game the other night.
It sure was.
Heck yeah.
I feel like you know the way that Bended drew the focus instead of the point that they got to. I thought that was a really solid performance, and maybe it's good that we cave at the end like that so that we have something to bitch about. But I thought it was pretty, in terms of the coaching staff and keeping people honest.
Well, yeah, the coaches, but I think generally fans, media have given them the full credit for basically the first 50-plus minutes. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of people focusing on the fact that the numbers got big late, that the game got overly tight late. I think it's actually far more the other way. People are saying, wow, what a performance. Yeah. When in reality, if you strictly go by the scoreboard and the numbers, you were hanging on for dear life with the game on the line.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you. I think most people are making it sound like it was a little bit more of a lopsided game than it was,
right,
in my opinion.
Well,
I think it should have been. You muffed a punt. I mean, you muffed an onside kick, and then you fumbled the ball that could have extended another drive that would have sealed the game. So really,
there's a million plays like that.
Right.
I mean, not the onside kick, but there's a million plays that could have gone either way that would have like I said, 2 for 3 in the red zone, 1 for 6 in the red zone. You don't really have to be a football historian to figure out what changed the game.
I know.
The Patriots got to the red. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. The Patriots defense won the game.
Right. I won't even say exactly. When a guy rolls out on 4th and 2 and a guy is wide open for the
first
down, the Patriots defense was irrelevant to that play.
I mean,
so that's one trick.
And when Tompkins has a drive-extending drop over the middle,
Yeah, I'd also like to – maybe this is where that emailer will get their super negative Andy. I thought Tompkins was fine. He caught a couple passes. He's caught a couple touchdowns. I still thought he looked pretty damn crappy at times.
To me, the biggest thing was after that drop, Brady was willing to go right back at him.
Well, else is he going to throw to?
Who is he going to throw the ball
Matthew
to?
Mulligan? He has to throw to somebody.
That's
and
why he's
beating
complaining
us over the head
every
that he
week.
Has no weapons, that the margin of error is that thin.
We need more
when
well-rounded.
We'll be more tough to defense when we actually get our guys back. He's taken shot after shot at the receivers he has subtly in the media for weeks. But my point is, here this 49-yard pass. Yeah, that
bounced off
that
the
went through his
chest.
Hands, bounced off the safety's shoulder, and he caught it on the rebound. If we're going to give him credit for that, then yes, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's why I think that you can play
got
that.
The negative. You happy there?
And I'm not going to the negative because I agree with your original statement, Fred. I'm with you, and that's what I wrote. That's what we put on the cover.
He has a pass
I think
defense.
The defense.
Kembrell Tompkins was the first receiver ever with a pass defense.
The defense
in a game.
Is the reason why you won the game because
right.
of what
Don't
I'm talking
tell me
about.
You weren't mocking him.
They made the stops in the red zone when they had to, and that's what was the difference in the game. Both teams scored one touchdown from outside the red zone. And both teams got in the Patriots only got in the red zone 3 times all night.
I think Tompkins should have had twice the amount of catches that he had because he caught him twice.
And didn't.
And
don't
Dobson,
tell me you weren't.
And Dobson was a non-factor before he got hurt.
He looked every bit as much Brandon Lloyd and Chad Johnson on some plays where his body flails in one direction and his hands flail in another and the ball falls to the turf.
John, we knew we could get the negative out of him.
Well, Jesus, it's like Jerry Rice, the second coming, Kenbrell Tompkins. Woo-wee! Nobody catches half the passes thrown their way like Kenbrell Tompkins.
And he almost drops the other half.
Right!
I mean, let's be clear.
So let's be honest. He had good numbers and an okay game.
Getting better.
I agree.
He is getting better.
I'll say this.
By late in the year, he will catch
his numbers were similar to
Edelman's. More than half of them.
I thought Edelman was far, far better than Tompkins in that game.
You're
and
big
then,
on
and
numbers
were pretty much the
it
same.
It doesn't look right when you throw to Tompkins.
It
still.
Doesn't.
It looks fine when you throw to Edelman.
I can't tell who it looks worse when they throw it to, him or Dobson, because it never looks like clean.
I think it's Tompkins. Just that batted ball diving back, flailing back.
I just started laughing.
Tompkins makes the easy catches look hard and makes the hard catches look easy.
Right.
No, it's the other way around. He makes the hard ones look impossible, as Fred would say.
Yeah, the easy ones look
hard. No, he makes those
look impossible. He makes the easy ones look hard and the hard ones look impossible.
His hands, then the other guy's shoulder, then maybe an occasional helmet, and then he'll haul it in.
And you guys shouldn't be knocking Matthew Mulligan. All that guy does is catch them.
That's right. That's all he does.
Yep. Plus, he's a New Englander. We got to stick with our own.
Nice guy, too. He was a feature of our getting to know in this issue.
Very nice.
Very good timing for us.
It wasn't worthy of 4 quotes in the game notes, but.
Well, that's why he only ended up with one.
All right, John.
All right, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for calling in, John in L.A. Let's go to Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
4-0. You can't beat it.
That's right.
4-0. 4-0 at the quarter pole. I don't want to hear about this guy dropping that or this guy catching it twice, Paul.
Scoreboard.
That's why you're not hearing it.
I know. And I know, and you know exactly what I'm...
We get yelled at before we even do anything, Andy and I.
They're
never happy. They weren't happy that I said they were good, and then when I get angry and say the negatives, they're not happy.
I sit there and I tell you, you have a good win against a good team on the road, and people think, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Of course, I'm just busted.
Okay. No, I won't analyze the game. It's okay, Christian. You're right.
It's a good thing we don't have thin skins here.
You're right.
Whistling past the graveyard. They're fine. 16-0. It's coming.
Nah, everybody gives up 460 yards of offense.
When did Paul change his name to Eric? What's going on over here? I wanted your thoughts on
a cerebral retort by you.
Two thoughts on two players on the defensive side of the ball and what you thought of their performance in the game. Chandler Jones and Dont'a Hightower.
I think right now Chandler Jones is taking the long way to Grandma's house. He's overrunning the quarterback. The one part of his game I think he's lacking right now is just straight out strength. I think he's not willing to overpower the guy in front of him yet, and maybe he just isn't strong enough yet. But he seems to do a lot of running out there, and I don't see a lot of bull rushing and just trying to beat his guy quickly. And I think, you know, he's got to get that part of his game going.
Yeah, I was disappointed. And you clearly saw that Sam Baker was hurt because he had to leave later. And I just thought that was a matchup that he should win. He should have one of those games where you're saying, wow, he's just owning Sam Baker. They're going to have to put a tight end. They're going to have to. And he didn't.
And that's part of it, because he had a matchup that I think was favorable for him and still didn't really show up. It's just like, how can you guys sit there and say how great the defense played when they gave up 450, 460 yards of offense and let all those because they played a good offense.
Right.
We're on a curve here. You're not going to shut down.
It's not Geno Smith and the no-weapon Jets.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument they played better against the Falcons than they did against the Jets the weapons, you know, defensively.
Clyde Gates was playing for them.
They had guys open all night against the Jets. I thought the coverage was much tighter against Atlanta. I much more encouraged by the defense in this game because of who you played. It's a curve. Chandler Jones, as Andy said, should have dominated Sam Baker and then his Jag replacement, Holmes.
Holmesy. Lamar.
He should have been able to own that matchup, and he showed up very little.
Yeah.
And Hightower, to me, is still a guy who was supposed to be able to cover all the good backs, but doesn't.
He had a lot of tackles because they were all after receptions about 8 to 10 yards.
Jacquizz Rodgers made him look silly.
And he admitted it, by the way, right after the game on Twitter. Great to get a win, but I have a long way to go coming off tonight or something like that. So Dont'a Hightower was down on Dont'a Hightower.
6 for 56, all six times he was targeted, he caught.
And Andy, you're our strength and conditioning guy here. Would you agree with me about Jones? Like, the one part that he's missing is just flat-out strength?
Yeah, but I think that's obvious. That's not his strength because of his build. He's a long, kind of lean. And if you remember, he told us he put on 10 pounds of strength, of muscle.
Right.
He took some of it off later. He kind of told me later, we were talking, he's like, I dropped some of that in camp. They got me down a little. So I don't know where that's going in terms of what they want him to be and how they want him to play. Maybe they felt he was too big and he lost some speed or something.
I just see a lot of times in this, you know, I know they move him inside a little bit, but when he's playing on the end, he takes that outside route a lot and he's behind the quarterback too often when, you know.
Worst place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And as far as Talib goes, listen, dog, pay the man. It's been a long
time.
It's been a long time since we've had a guy play like that, physical, has length, got in their face, and Andy, you said it perfect. He sat down on that bench right after the game. It's like, all right, you got anything else?
Yep.
Like, that swagger has been missed.
Yep.
He is here.
Problem is,
you know, that's just what I do. He sat down.
That swagger is also the type of swagger that probably has him saying, hey, it was $40 million 2 weeks ago, 55 now.
Well, if Chris Collins says one more time that the price of Talib is going up, you know.
Well, if he's not doing that, he's telling everybody how every player's problems go away when he lands in New England. And people are tweeting, Chris, I got killed a guy.
Chris.
Did you hear that, Fred? Yeah, did you hear any of that? I mean,
I heard the replay of it.
Yeah. Somebody should have gotten his ear and said,
what are you talking about?
Down.
they have
the greatest scandal in all of sports history.
It's so funny because I was going back and forth on the sports radio.
See ya.
Thanks,
see ya,
Christian.
He was stunned. He had to get back to
work. He doesn't
want
to listen to Fred's story. But on EEI, you know, they were ripping Borges. And then you go to 98.5, and they were ripping Collingsworth for being a suck-up. So.
Well, he did. You know, when the Patriots got the lead there, you know, and they extended the lead, and it looked like it was going to be a laugher. he did just for like 5 minutes just turned into like PFW in progress.
Yep.
I mean, it was
Fred.
It was unbelievably
the
Patriots.
Fred version of PFW.
It was Brian. Unbelievably Patriots-centric there for about 5 minutes, and it culminated with, you know, all their problems just seem to disappear when they go to New England. I mean, I was like,
yeah, because they kill them.
We all know what we're talking about. Do you have to say that?
Did you see my guy whose sister's on Glee? He scored a touchdown, and she was going ballistic for the Raiders, the tight end
Michael
out of
Rivera?
Tennessee. Yeah.
I liked him in the draft. I didn't know who that girl was that was going crazy. I didn't know that.
She an actress or something?
On Glee.
Oh.
She's pretty hot, too. She plays like a lesbian singer on Glee. She's pretty...
Let's go to Montreal. Hey, Neil.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good day.
Satisfying win.
Yes.
I'm not going to say too much more about it. You guys have already gone into details. What I wanted to talk to you about is I was listening to the WEI interview with Bill Belichick, and I don't know who the interviewer was, but they asked him some questions on Gronkowski. And one of the questions was, are you on the same page as Gronkowski with respect to his injury? And Bill's answer is, I get the exact answer, but like I've already answered that.
Right. I said all I'm going to say. Yep.
Right. And I guess the way I read between the lines is he's basically saying, no, we're not on the same page, because if they were, it would have been easy for him to say, yeah.
Well, Jonathan Kraft, before the game on 98.5, he does a segment pregame, and he said the two camps are absolutely aligned. There's no problem.
There is no dissension, I believe.
No dissension.
The word that he
so,
said.
What do you guys think?
I think I've said all I'm going to say.
Is there a chance that somebody like Gronkowski's father said, you know, I know they want him out there fast, but, you know, we're going to take our time.
Sure.
He could have. Yeah, absolutely.
But does that...
But does Gronkowski's father really know what's going on?
No, but the bigger issue here is, on Friday, the Boston Globe reported that Rob Gronkowski and Danny Amendola were playing.
Right.
They were playing. Then this story comes out that there's a divide. So that fuels the fire that there's a divide. Because if he played, even if the father didn't want him to... If he played, it means there's no divide. Gronk agreed, we played him. But because he doesn't travel and doesn't play, now the belief is, well, the team thought he was going to play, he didn't play, his dad told him not to, the inner circle.
But here's the thing, even earlier than that, Thursday, ESPN and the Herald were saying that he wasn't going to play.
Correct.
So, you know, and we don't really know where either of their sources are, but I know that our Spanish writer, Martin Morales, was writing that he saw Gronkowski's travel bag pack.
Oh yeah,
and
oh,
other
everybody
people
was writing.
Yeah,
that.
And other people reported that too. And so, as you know, maybe Ben Volen just said, "You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here."
That's
and
not what he did.
I don't know
if he did. He should be fired.
I don't know,
because that's awful.
He referenced a source.
Well,
he referenced
a lot can change.
He referenced a source that said specifically that as of now he's playing, but a lot can change between now and Sunday.
Yeah.
That's not going on an equipment bag that everybody reported on.
I'll tell you what I read it as. My feeling on that was the team. Now that I know all this, as of Sunday, my feeling on the Friday report was the team trying to put pressure on Gronkowski. That's where I view that type of thing. Who benefits from that being out there? Who could the source be? The source wants to push Gronkowski because the inner circle is pushing the other way.
Where's the logic, though? Where's the common sense for the team to want to push Gronkowski out there faster than he
they
should
think
be?
They don't think it's faster than he should be.
They think he's healthy.
They think he's ready to go, and they're trying to, you know, almost guilt him into getting on the field.
But if he has a long-term contract, then how...
But they don't think
how
it's a risk.
Benefit from pushing him.
Because they don't think there's any risk.
How do
they
you
think
benefit
he's ready
from pushing him?
They need him to
you
play.
Benefit by him helping you beat the Falcons
but
and then helping you beat the Bengals.
We're saying that Gronkowski is
wait. Say it again.
How do they benefit by pushing him before he's ready?
They believe he's ready.
They think he's ready. They
That's
don't
the
think
premise
any,
of this whole
they
discussion.
They don't think they're pushing
right.
him.
But they believe he is ready to play.
But then to go further there, then Gronkowski then has to be saying that, you know, I don't think I'm ready yet. And
that is what
right.
that's the
report.
The genesis of the report
the
is
the inner
that.
Circle is asking
right.
him to be overly cautious.
Well, and I think people have sort of taken Gronkowski himself off the hook on this, like he's not having right. any role in this at all.
Well, part of that is people think he can't even think for himself.
See,
people that, so
well, exactly. Well, see, that's what I say is that, no, if it is true that the Patriots think he's ready and someone else doesn't think he's ready, it has to be Gronkowski. And if that's true, then what we're told is this is always a, you know, a collaboration between the trainers, the doctors, and the player. And if the player doesn't think he's ready, I don't see where the dissension is. You know, why they would disagree with Gronkowski knowing him, his own body. But if anything, you would want to, you would think Gronkowski wants to get out there sooner than he,
right?
You know, right? But if a player is saying, you know, I just don't feel right, where's the dissension? Why would the team want to push him out?
That's sports.
Well,
that happens a million times.
Not with this guy, though.
But also,
well, how do you know?
It's taken to the next level.
How
do
you
know? It's being reported that the inner circle is involved. So for all we know, Gronk is like, I guess they're right. I feel pretty good. And Drew Rosenhaus or his mother, his father, his brother, his sister, anybody says, why don't you, they're 3-0, because that came in there. I don't know if you read all the stories. It was either Schefter or Reese reported that the fact that the Patriots were 3-0 has the inner circle wanting the Patriots to be even more cautious.
But where is that inner circle getting their info from? From Gronkowski. If Gronkowski says he's ready, then why are they saying, no, Rob, don't go out there?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're either ready or you're not. Your record has nothing to do with it.
I wholeheartedly agree, Neil. And Andy and I both said that on the pregame social on Sunday. The record
right.
should have nothing to do
but
with
if the,
it.
But if you're right. And I can see, we talked about this a lot on the pregame social. Obviously, it was kind of a bubbling story at that point. But I could see Bill Belichick be annoyed by that. He's hearing from somebody, well, you guys are 3-0, so why don't you give Gronk an extra week or an extra 2 weeks? No, that's not the way we do it.
Right.
Dr. Gill says he's healthy. We're a professional football team. If you're healthy, you play.
Yeah. But to me, if Rob Gronkowski's camp is saying he's not ready, the only basis for them saying that is if Rob is telling them, you know, I don't feel right.
Well, it could just be caution.
It could be mental.
And if Rob is saying that, he's also saying it to the trainers and doctors.
Yeah, I don't assume that. I think it could just be caution. We know in the Growing Up Gronk book that Gordy ripped – it was one of the Florida school. One of the other brothers had a back surgery that was exacerbated because they got him back lifting too quickly. So he could just have an overly cautious approach to this. I don't think he's ready. You know, I see, whatever. I don't think it's just because Gronk says I'm not ready. As a parent, I think you can be more overly cautious than a child who has the actual injury, right?
Well, at what point then?
And if he's checking out physically, I understand that the team's sitting there saying, come on, what are we waiting for?
Well, at what point then does Rob Gronkowski's camp say he's ready? If Rob thinks he's ready and the doctors think he's ready, when does the camp say he's ready?
Well, we don't know either way whether Rob thinks he's ready.
No, you're making
blanket assumptions. That is the important aspect of this that is unknown, completely unknown.
That was why I said I think Rob is sort of being taken off the hook on this because
and
he has got to at least be expressing some sort of reluctance.
And to my
maybe
belief,
it's mental.
To my belief, having read the reports from ESPN and Reese and Schefter and everybody, the Herald, I have yet to see anyone specifically acknowledge what Gronk is saying.
Right.
I haven't seen, you know, according to a source, Gronk said X.
Right.
It's always the inner circle or the Patriots or unknown sources. No one has, and to me that's the most important. What does Gronk think? How does Gronk feel?
You know, after having, what, 4 or 5 surgeries in the last year? I mean, I'm losing track of the count.
No, you're right.
I know if it was me, I would probably be a little bit gun-shy because
exactly.
I'm scared.
Human nature.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
I'm with
again,
Neil here 1,000%.
Again, now you're talking about Rob Gronkowski, and that's my point.
But I think that's his camp. Is him? He's part of his camp, Fred.
But the father can feel the exact same way.
Exactly.
It's his kid. I'm gun shy too.
Yeah, but
they told him he was ready in January,
So you're Rob Gronkowski's dad. Do you ask Rob, your son, how he feels?
Yeah.
Yes.
And if the kid says, "I feel great."
Right, and then I say, how'd you feel the last time you took the field?
Yeah, so at what point, when do you say, all right, I believe my son?
If he says that, I would say that he probably would believe him, yeah.
But as a parent,
I don't know why you're assuming
also,
that Rob is saying he feels great.
No, you see, you don't listen to what I said. I said, if the camp is saying he's not ready, I'm assuming that Rob Gronkowski's saying he's not ready.
Yeah, I am too.
I am not necessarily.
I think mentally he's not ready to get back on the field.
Because I think sometimes parents want to protect their children from themselves.
Right, but
and coaches, I think people that are responsible.
If that's the case, when do you say, as the camp, he's ready?
I have no idea.
I
don't know
what
information
they're using.
At some point,
you got to let go. You got to let go.
Right, and,
you know.
But isn't what? Who is this? The guy from Canada just
Neil.
Said. You know, maybe I let go last time. Maybe I didn't think he was ready last time, and look what happened. Right.
You know, so when do you let go this time?
I don't know. You play, you feel it out. You have experiences. You're getting
advice.
And the
only way you can do that is by talking to your son or...
Well, no, because your son doesn't really know.
Okay, so then you can never let go.
It's a complicated issue.
No, but your son doesn't know.
I think you're trying to make something very simple that's not...
Right. Your son doesn't know. He knows I feel good, but there are plenty of things you have where you feel good, and the doctor says, listen, I know you feel fine, but you're not recovered. If right. you do something stupid, sure. you're going to tear X or right. pull Y or whatever.
I know, but what was...
So really, the guy who's most important is the medical. That's obvious.
Right.
They are the scientists.
And at this point, we're assuming, if this story is right, that the medical is saying he's ready.
And the problem with that, as, again, the caller just said, is he was probably told he was ready last time. He got out there. He rebroke it. So human nature is...
I'll bet you last time they said... There's a risk.
Well, but we don't know. Again, yeah. we just don't know.
And that's absolutely insane if they thought there was a risk and they let him go out there and play in a meaningless final regular season game.
Yeah. So,
but the interesting aspect of it to me on the larger level is what we started with Brady. Brady keeps saying when these guys get back out there, when our offense
more
gets
well-rounded.
Healthy,
we need well-rounded. Some, we need
well, that's
more
another story and we should talk
options.
About that. Thanks for the call, Neil.
I think Neil I think Neil's on it. I think there's, but I think it's so complicated.
It is. And the more voices you add, the more complicated it is. Like, you might think, okay, if he, say he gets a second opinion, and I've seen nothing that says he's gotten a second opinion, which I don't know why. Wouldn't that be the first thing? If there's a disagreement, a legitimate disagreement between
right.
the camp and the team,
yeah.
don't you say, well, we can clear this up. Let's go see this expert, and he'll give an opinion. But do you trust that guy? Does he know more? What, you know, what if he confirms? What if... So every time a voice is added, it gets more complex. The father,
just
the agent,
think about some of
the
different the different storylines on both sides. You know, the Patriots could look at this and say, "Well, yeah, you got an infection, but it didn't stop you from doing the DDT in Las Vegas in the off season." And then the Gronkowski camp says, "Well, yeah, I got this surgery and I got this infection that you guys couldn't get rid of,
right?
Coming back last year, and re-breaking the arm that they say had nothing to do with the original break. Well, I might say different if I'm the guy. You know, I can understand there being a little bit of hesitation on both sides. The skepticism, probably a better word than hesitation. You know, the Patriots need this guy out on the field. Their medical is telling them this guy is 100%. He's ready to go. Rob might be looking at it and saying, yeah, you told me I was 100% ready to go before, and I wasn't. So I think this is very complicated. And you wonder if Rob is feeling fine, don't discount the element of the story that telling us about how many catches he had.
Oh, that really bothered me.
In practice, which I'm going to assume he did not take a hit after any one of them.
Well, they said he's actually been tackled. I saw that, too.
Yeah,
but you know what all that information is? That's got to come from the team, right? I mean.
Or a player. Yeah,
I just the players counting receptions. Either Reese or Schefter had. He's caught 17 balls in practice last week.
Right?
Really? Where's
right.
that coming from?
Right. That's
that
good
really
point.
Sniffs it's like it's coming from the team.
Right.
That feels like pressure to push him out there.
But
the thing that bothers me is if you and I know this isn't a perfect world and I'm being naive. The long term interests, both long term this year and long term in general, should be the same. He's under contract. Rob Gronkowski should want to be healthy for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots should want him to be healthy for the next
Neil
5 years.
I think Neil said that, too. He was wondering, isn't it in the Patriots' best interest to do what's right by Rob Gronkowski?
Right.
Because he's part of your team for the foreseeable
right.
future.
So at the most simplistic levels, they should be on the exact same page,
right.
but clearly they're not. And I don't know if that's a trust issue.
Well, according to the story, they're not.
Well, he didn't play, so.
Well, he may not be ready, period. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know.
And there's all these things that, as of week two,
but
the team
was
hoping.
That's what you get back to.
But the team was hoping as of week two, potentially, it was time to start thinking about him playing, and now we're going into week five. I said to Paul, from a Belichick perspective, he may be starting to get annoyed. Well, now we're almost on week six. I should have just put you on PUP. Why didn't you tell me all this before camp that you weren't going to be ready?
I also read that Belichick loves it this way because it makes a team have to kind of game plan for the eventuality he does play.
I'm not sure I buy that.
Yeah.
I don't think I could see Bill being very much annoyed with this situation. If there is indeed inner circle people injecting themselves.
Oh, that part, yeah.
And that came from
that's
Scott Pioli, by the way, that Bill is enjoying the confusion that it's creating. And listen, that might be an ancillary benefit because, yeah, I'm sure that Atlanta had to spend some time last week on Gronkowski that maybe Buffalo didn't have to do in the opener.
If Little League parents don't like parents, Little League coaches don't like parents getting involved, I'm sure NFL coaches don't either. All right, let's take a break. We're going to refuel here. When
good
we come
news,
back,
the food's here.
We got Bruno in Florida hanging on, Rich in Houston hanging on. We'll get to your calls right after this.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part.
She works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos. I like disco. I'm not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
I think it's very appropriate, Fred. We were just breaking down the problems with the healthcare system in this medical government shutdown.
And I'm wolfing down a small cheese pizza?
That's the problem with insurance. Fat guys like you raise the cost of premiums.
All right.
Do smokers pay more for health insurance?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, for life insurance, they certainly do. But
I didn't ask about life insurance. Because isn't it a fact that if you smoke, you have a higher medical, I mean, you're going to be sick. You're going to deal with
more issues.
Well,
if you're in a group policy, like at work, there's no determination on who smokes and who doesn't.
Yeah, there should be. I think people that smoke should pay higher health care costs.
Okay.
I mean, health insurance costs.
Yeah. 508-298-0398-855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com. We've got a lot of emails, but I also want to get these people that have been waiting on the line off the line. Bruno's in Florida on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Bruno.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
So just to follow up on the Gronk injury, if Obamacare was in place, would he already been back by now?
No, they put him on a death panel.
I just wanted you guys' opinion on Sudfeld, because I don't think he's really doing anything. It just seems like he was good in preseason, and I think a lot of the veterans don't go at full speed. And now he just seems like outmatched. I mean,
well, here's the problem:
involved in a fumble and everything. I mean, yeah, he's really not doing anything.
Besides those executional things, yeah, I'm 7-on-7, no pads. He looked great, but he's not strong enough. I don't think he's strong enough to get free off the line.
I don't think he's fast enough.
You know,
I don't see him like creating separation. The few times that he's given the chance to create.
He's got to build his strength to compete in the league. I really think that.
What do you think of Zach Sudfeld's execution? I'm all for it. He's been horrific. Ever since you anointed him the next great tight end, he almost literally couldn't have had worse things happen.
No.
Interception. You know, can't recover the onside kick. And it's to the point where the position is borderline irrelevant, except when they brought in the guy who's a career blocker off the streets and threw him a touchdown.
Now, having said that, in all fairness, yes, those are three negative plays that he's been involved in. But he does see the field quite often.
Yeah, he's done nothing, though.
Well, no.
And he doesn't see the ball quite often. And the one time Brady wanted to throw him the ball, I think he stopped running, and there were two other guys wide open, and that's not good if the quarterback throws you the ball.
Yeah.
Other over two wide open guys, and you stopped running.
But apparently he's been doing a decent job blocking. So, you know, that's part of his job, too. I know. It's important, Andy. Come on.
You know what's important? when all your pass-catching weapons, especially at the tight end position, are out, and you were supposed to be the pass-catching tight end, and you need to catch passes.
Well, that's according to us fans, he was supposed to be the pass-catching tight end, but I don't know.
So you don't think he was? When we saw him lined up wide throughout the preseason, they weren't laying the foundation for him to be a pass catcher.
I think the team right now, the team right now is happy with what they're getting.
I think that's ridiculous. You know, that's the most irresponsible thing I've ever
heard. You think the team is happy with what they're getting from Sudfeld?
They've definitely decreased their expectations of him, let's say.
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Because they expected him to be a pass catcher. You don't practice all summer long lining up wide and serving as a pass catcher if their plan is to use you solely as a blocker. They intended for him to catch passes. And refresh my memory, through a quarter of his rookie season, how many has he caught?
Yeah, so
how many?
I think
0.0.
I think when Brady talks about,
if he was a plus minus, if this was hockey, he would be like minus four.
We get it. I think when Brady's talking about, you know, he can't wait till the guy, he's specifically talking about the tight end position.
Right.
You know,
and why?
Because he's got no production
out of it. So they're not happy with the production they're getting from Zach Sudfeld.
But not right.
Like you just said.
At this point, yes, at this point, they realize that he's just not strong enough to get open.
Right. You know? So the guy they expected to catch passes can't catch passes. So he's been a disappointment.
No. They expected Rob Gronkowski to be out there. So.
Well, and if Brady doesn't go to him, he obviously has no confidence in him, too.
Well, and would you? I mean, based on the way it's played out?
No, if you can't get open, if you can't get separation, then you're just throwing it up in the air.
Right. So, you know, you have limited options as it is. You're not going to take chances. You're going to go to Edelman, who you trust.
Right.
But I think glaring is like all of a sudden Mulligan he trusts. He's going to go to Mulligan in the red zone, and he's been here like a week and doesn't catch passes. Yeah. Tied his career high with touchdowns.
He was open for a second, so we hit him.
Right. Which put him ahead of Sudfeld, the next great tight end.
Well, the Chiefs' fourth-string tight end looked pretty good this past weekend. So
who?
He's fourth-string. They threw him the ball. I don't know what his name was, but he looked pretty good, and he's fourth-string. So
who are we talking about?
The Chiefs' fourth-string.
The Chiefs' fourth-string tight end.
All right. Thanks, Bruno. Let's go to Rich in Houston. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, on this Gronkowski thing, I mean, I think there's a big difference between the kid being medically ready and him having the strength, you know, to play 100%. I read a blog earlier, and they made the point that, you know, he hadn't been able to work out for so long. I'm sure he's apprehensive about going out there, being able to take contact, being able to hold up after a forearm surgery, after a back surgery. A forearm surgery that was caused because he came out when, you know, he came in and played before he was ready to, obviously. So, you know, if the kid needs to lay off an extra week or two, you know, more power to him. He knows his body, and, you know, they don't need to be.
Would you be saying that if the Patriots were 1-3?
Well, they're not. That's hypothetical.
But I'm asking you. If they were 1-3, would you feel the same way? Because I would. I actually agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
but I would feel the same regardless of the record, because to me, it's about being ready, not about what the record is.
All that matters is what this team does the last 8 to 10 games of the season. You know, the rest of it is getting experience, improving, seeing what you got for the stretch run. So the more experience these younger guys get, I think it's good for the team. If they were losing games.
But let me ask you a question. If this is psychological, if, you know, there's no disputing the fact that everything is right, as a coach, you know, at what point do you say, hey, Rob, you got to get over this. You got to get out there. How long do you let him go being hesitant about going out there as a coach?
I can't answer that. I mean, it's certainly when you've crossed the point where he is obviously healthy. I don't know if he's at the point where he's obviously 100%.
I started this out by saying, you know, we all know for a fact that everything, you know, this is all hypothetical, but we all know for a fact that everything's 100%. At what point as a coach do you say, Rob, you got to get over this. You got to get out there.
After this next game.
Okay. All right.
We're just going to pick a game.
I like it.
He used up a roster spot when he could have gone on the PUP list.
Yeah.
And then he would have been available after this next game to come back, or maybe
to start practicing, right?
Either
way,
so that's when he's burned a roster spot, and the decision to put him on the active roster becomes a bad decision when he stays out longer than he would have been able to play otherwise.
And, you know, here's the other thing about the dissension in the camp. For all we know, the dissension started when that decision was made not to put him on PUP, where Gronkowski's camp is saying, you know what, don't put pressure on him. Put him on PUP. And maybe that's where the dissension was, where his camp thought, you know, if you put him on PUP, there's not as much pressure for him to come back. You know, who knows?
But the biggest issue is the medical. I still get back to this. Even the whole, well, he's healed, but he's not ready. These are football doctors and football trainers. They understand that it's not just everyday life. He could drive now, so he's healthy. They understand that healthy means ready to step on an NFL field, give a hit, take a hit, block a guy, catch a ball. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if they deem him healthy, that's part of it. That's included in the decision.
What does a doctor do? A doctor looks at a diagnostic test and says, hey, the bone's healed, you're ready.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, there are plenty of tests they run. They test strength.
I can tell you
as a guy who came back from a knee injury, they strap you to a machine that you kick and bath, and you have to get to an X percentage in both directions of leg strength before you're deemed healthy.
Yeah,
there's a lot more than just, oh, the X-ray doesn't show a crack.
And, Rich, every game you'll see the Patriots medical staff, doctors and trainers, working out with various players that, you know, quote-unquote are game-time decisions. And there's nothing medically wrong at that point. They're testing flexibility, strength,
everything,
durability, what they can handle, and what kind of mobility a guy might have in terms of a lower body injury. There's a lot of things that go into that. Not just something you can read diagnostically.
If they line up and Jake Beckett blows through Rob Gronkowski when he tries to punch him in a block, they go, guess what? He ain't ready. You know, I mean.
Yeah, well, and Gronkowski hasn't been through that process. I mean, so they haven't.
Wait, how do you know that?
Whoa.
Time out. He's been on the field since week one.
Supposedly, he's been practicing.
He hasn't been out there before the game because he's been out each game.
It doesn't have to be before the game. That can happen on a Wednesday in front of the doctors, the trainers, the strength staff. That's been happening for 5 weeks now. There's been an assessment. The Dr. Gill is here multiple times a week. That's my point. When a doctor in the NFL deems a guy ready, he's deeming him ready to play, not ready, as I said, to drive his car home. They understand the wear and tear that comes with the job.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Perfect.
Let's go to Jefferson in Salt Lake City.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Awesome. I don't want to take up a whole lot of your time. First and foremost, I want to tell you guys how much I enjoy your show. The reason I'm calling, my birthday was this Sunday, and my wife woke me up on my birthday with Patriots tickets to the Dolphins game at Gillette.
Nice.
I've never been to an NFL game in my entire life. I swore I'd never go to one until I was able to go to Gillette Stadium. So I'm coming out there October 27th. I was wondering if I could buy you guys a beer.
Sure.
Yes. Happening.
We look forward to it. Are you staying here at the stadium? Are you staying at the Renaissance? Are you staying in Boston? What are you doing?
No, I'm staying like 5 miles away. I can't remember the name of the city, but I'm only 5 miles away, so I'm going to be able to come out and tailgate and party it up and hopefully not have to drive myself back to the hotel. But I listen to you guys every single day that you guys are on. Love your show. I've called in a couple of times last year, but I cannot even express to you how excited I am. So if I could buy you guys a beer, that would just make my trip 1,000% better than it would be. Obviously when we put the stomp down on Tannehill and those Dolphins.
Overrated is the word. Overrated Dolphins.
Exactly.
Apparently it's not their time hashtag anymore because they lost big and got their asses kicked.
Thanks, Jefferson. All right. Let's get to some emails now. Webradio@patriots.com. They're just streaming.
Have you read emails yet? We've taken a ton of calls.
I read a couple. Mike in Boston says, it's Mike from Boston. I recently purchased an iPad and the first app download was Patriots Football Daily. Love the app. Been listening to you guys for going on a decade. Tremendous work from all except Eric. He's insufferable at times.
At times.
On to my point. He was actually getting excited when the Falcons were coming back. You could see
him. He was.
He was starting to shake it a little bit. And
his bitterness has overtaken him. It's a weird thing. He was truly a super homer Patriots fan when he started. Now his bitterness is just it's bone deep now. He's a negative little man.
On to my point, watching the game Sunday night, one scene kept playing through my mind while watching Talib, John Malkovich from Rounders,
where he looks at Matt Damon, points and says, pay that man. What are your guys' thoughts on extending him, and how much would you be willing to pay him?
Paul has ponied up $50 million. He's put it on the table.
I mean, I don't know what the number is, but I would pay
$50 million.
I would pay him, you know. Fred, if you're right, and he's in that small group with Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman, pay him.
Well, it's funny you say Darrell Revis. Would you give him a Revis deal?
I don't know what the Revis deal is.
$16 million a year. Totally unguaranteed, but renewable every renewable annually.
Yeah. I don't know if Tlaib would take such a tenuous deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it to him, just so you know.
Remember, you can
my pay structure
it too, but,
doesn't
yeah.
involve me paying anyone
yeah,
a lot
franchise,
more than Tom Brady.
You know, we don't know what the number will be next year, but I think in 13 it was almost $11 million.
I wonder if he's franchisable.
What do you mean?
I don't know. A guy on a one-year prove-it deal, I would
maybe
think there's a chance
kind of
there's something in there that says.
I think someone would have reported that, right?
I don't know. Somebody reported that Gronk and Amendola were playing, and so.
Mm. Oh.
Ben Scoop? No, Scoop Volan and Ben Pulitzer is his name.
Jacob from Denmark.
You heard that rant, I hope, Paul, right?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Michael Holly.
You need to look it up. I don't know
this
how
is another one?
Yeah. Monday.
He ranted on.
Oh, yeah.
Lost a lot of respect for the Michael Holly element.
Why?
That's funny. I've gained a ton of respect for Michael Holly.
We like Media on Media Crime.
I like Media on Media Crime, but.
It's gone way up in my book.
Was
he actually said, Ben Volan, I didn't know your editors had to read the Herald to find out what was going on with the Patriots.
Wow. That see, I can appreciate that kind of a shot.
See, I think that, see, I said to Fred, he called him Ben Scoop Volan and Ben Pulitzer. I thought was really funny. When he said the Herald, like in name on the air, I thought, that's a little bit of a, like, you're actually telling his bosses the guy you hired is a joke on the air in a 50,000-watt radio station.
See,
felt a little much.
I think it's cool because, as we know, I participate quite often in media
right.
on media crime. I thought there were other guys that were professional.
See, I'm glad there aren't. I don't think it was professional
well,
to
that's what radio's all about.
Mock the ridiculous jokes, and therefore I think it's perfectly fine to fire back.
These people who think that they have four-hour radio shows and they're supposed to just talk straight sports and never. That's crazy. It's
and nothing
no, entertainment.
You know I think that's
it should
crazy.
Be closer to WWE than it is
yes,
to, you know, Sports Illustrated.
Exactly, Mike.
But again, I know we don't partake in sports, but we are in the public spectrum, and it is sports entertainment. Sports journalism has become sports entertainment.
Sure.
I mean, SportsCenter has led the charge. So why is it okay we know that Darrell Revis hates Tom Brady and calls him an a-hole, but we don't know that Andy Gresh will literally not speak to Kirk Minahan when they're on Uno Sports tonight
together? You
know that
was Cromartie, right?
Well, Cromartie, whoever. You know, that's my point. Like, it's public. We're in the public. If you don't like it, like Eric, get out. You've chosen this
well,
line of work where
think,
you're in the public
I think,
eye.
Though, there is that line where we're supposed to be giving people information.
Yeah,
that,
not, that making, that not making news.
That they're supposed
to
trust.
It.
That's supposed to trust.
Oh, when I write a game story, it shouldn't say Andy Gresh, blah, blah, blah. Nothing in there. That's news. But when I am on a TV show or a sports talk radio, I'm no longer just giving you the news. This is sports entertainment.
You're not
this
a journalist.
Yeah, you're not a journalist. And now that gets difficult, I
know,
think.
But if that's
the hat wearing.
If that same guy acts like a clown on this show, then I'm thinking about that when I'm reading his stuff. And, you know, the fear in the past is it hurts your credibility.
I got to tell you, I think
but
if you just have
guys
the clown
right.
who doesn't do anything, you have no interest. No one cares. No one thinks. In this modern era, like it or not, fair or not, people think that credibility comes from the guy I hear on the radio, I see on TV, I read. It's a multifaceted media world we live in. And I think most people, if they've never read a guy, if they've never seen a guy anywhere other than print, have questions about it.
Why is your wallet on the floor?
Oh, I don't know.
Want me to pick it up for
you?
Thank
you, though, for telling me. I must have knocked it off. Jacob from Denmark, I thought the defense played really well, and I loved how Tlaib shut down Jones, but the pass rush was almost non-existent. Are you guys worried about that? And by the way, good job picking the Patriots to win the game, Fred. Thank you. What's so funny?
Hour and 34 minutes. He started off the show being quite magnanimous, but
I'll take all that credit.
An hour and 34 minutes, and now he's suddenly taking credit for something that he claimed on Thursday he would not take credit for.
I did think the pass rush was building, and I don't think it continued to build in Atlanta. But how much of that has to do with the fact that Wilfork was out?
And well, see, to me, it's the quarterback.
Because Wilfork was doing a lot of those twists with Chandler Jones that were giving a little boost to a pass rush that was not great on its own in vanilla, just straight four-man, straight rush. So if Will Fork's out, do I, you know, Chris Jones, does he not quite warrant the same?
You might be right, and that might have had something to do with it. I will say, you know, the only real time they had pressure all night, Joe Valano just completely B-slapped Peter Kahns and ran up the middle and got a big sack in the red zone. But I think that the quarterback was the biggest difference. You played an NFL quarterback Sunday night, so, you know, that, you know, there was no Geno Smith running back and forth, you know, behind the line of scrimmage until someone tackled him. You know, not necessarily scrambling, but not seeing his first read and then being like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? You know.
So it all falls on Chandler Jones.
No, I don't think I agree with the emailer. I don't think the pass rush was that good the other night, but I didn't think it was as good as the seven sacks in the two games.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
You know, sort of indicated in the previous
games. But it was light
years
better. Light years better.
Well, yeah, they had three instead of two. But I don't think they had a lot more pressure. That's
I actually think when you get split sacks, it's a great sign. Because it means two guys
are getting
close. Relative.
I understand
and
that. I think when
I see Ninkovich and Jones hitting a quarterback and saying, well, I don't know who to give, because it's not just one guy who happened to go unblocked or win a battle.
That's
it's,
a good point.
And they had that, and now they don't.
Yeah,
or
I just
didn't for a week.
Yeah, I just didn't see. I get what you're saying about the split sacks, and you're right. But I didn't think that there was a tremendous amount of pressure on some of those split sacks.
I thought it was light years.
I thought there was a lot of time to throw the ball, and maybe this just gets back to Tlaib. You know, we keep saying, what will they do? How much better will Tlaib be with a pass rush? How much better is Tlaib making the pass rush?
Oh, light years. That's huge, and that's a concern because, again, Chandler Jones, we were waiting. J.J. Watt, year two jump.
And it might be just one of those anecdotal things to me, you know, and I don't have anything to back it up, but, like, I didn't see a lot of, you know, break-free rushers and, you know, you're forcing him out and then your thing comes into, you know, Ninkovich breaks free off the edge and the quarterback has to step up and he's stepping right into Michael Buchanan on the other side and all of a sudden they're sharing a sack because multiple guys won their battles. I didn't see a lot of that, despite the fact that they had a lot of sacks in those two games.
I think they, a lot of times, have had a couple guys in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, I just thought
nothing.
It took a while to get there.
Well, at times it does, and that's the nature. If you run twists, it takes longer than Jason Taylor off the edge. I mean, by nature of it, there's at least one guy waiting for one guy to pass in front and one guy to pass around, but that's kind of how it works. If Wilfork's twisting out, the quarterback generally sees that, oh, there's an opening, I can step up in the pocket, and just when he takes that step up, boom, Jones comes in from the outside, and he's right in. Yeah. And we've seen that a couple
times. And they did use Jones inside, Sunday night.
I'm wondering if the lack of Wilfork.
Could be.
Sure. Fred says, how likely is it that Vince's time with the Patriots is over? I know it might be a bit dramatic, but the guy's 32, and Achilles injuries can be damaging to an athlete's career. I worry that a guy of his size and age will find it hard to come back and play at an elite level again. I find it likely that he comes back on a team-friendly deal.
It's a debate. And the one thing I'd say is a $7.5 million salary, you're gonna carry him. I don't see him getting cut like in the spring. So the salary's on the books. You have a chance to see where he's at whatever point that progression takes. And isn't there a chance? 32 is not that old.
No.
So isn't there a chance they redo the deal in August because he wants to be here? Let's be honest. He said it a lot last time when the contract was coming up. And you tack on a couple years and you're able to kind of massage the salary so it's not just a pay cut. He gets a little guaranteed money and now he's here for 3 years. He ends as a Patriot because you're comfortable that he's progressed in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a chance he balloons up to 500 pounds, and you see him in the summer and go, uh-oh, he's never, this is over. But I'm saying, like, you'd have July and August and say, let's do a deal, Vince. We can't carry at $7.5 million. We're going to be honest with you. We can't. But we'll tack on 2 years, so it'll be a three-year, $10 million deal or something, and we all go our happy way.
Do you think he would take that?
Yeah. I think he wants to be here.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Because he's getting his $7.5 million that he was supposed to get. And now we're tacking on.
He still gets his money.
New money. He might even get a little more guaranteed for cap purposes.
I wish I was as confident as you that they, you know, the whole beginning part of that, they wouldn't just cut him. I wish I was as confident as you.
Yeah, I don't
on
think
that.
They will.
Let's
Fred,
see.
What are the chances? I mean, the guy kind of won. I think there is a 67% chance that Vince Wilfork will be a Patriot this time next year.
Oh, I think there's a good chance it'll be a Patriot.
Oh, I don't think there's a chance in Hades that coming off that injury, he plays at $7.5 million.
I'd up that to 72%.
Okay, 72.
Yeah,
where are you, Paul?
I think in Achilles, I don't think it's a deal. I don't think it's a career ender at age 32. I think he's going to be affected by it, no doubt.
Well, no, not a career ender. A career ender at $7.5 million.
Well, do you think they would have paid him $7.5 million next year if he didn't get hurt?
Oh, I think there's a chance because they might have to.
I don't really know.
So
I
you,
don't know.
And on one sentence, you said you think they could just cut him.
No, I think there's the a chance. I think there's a chance they could cut him. Yeah, I don't think he was going to get $7.5 million next year.
So you don't think he's going
to
be back?
No, I don't. I don't know if he's going to be back. I'm not as confident as you that they won't cut him. That's all I said. You said they won't cut him, so they're going to have to
resave. What percent chance that Vince Wilfork's a Patriot next year? Clarify.
50.
50%. Okay.
Why? I don't understand. Can't even sway it to me one way or the other.
So I can at least say if he thinks there's a chance.
If you don't have information to help you make an informed opinion, why did you get killed? Like,
but
this happened to me last week when you guys asked me
information.
If Gronk was playing. I said, I don't know, 50-50, and I got killed for that, too.
Well, because people generally like opinions, not 50-50.
I mean, do you think I lack for opinions generally?
Yeah, lately it's 50-50.
Oh, come on. That's twice I said I didn't know.
And you have plenty of information. He's a 32-year-old, 350-plus-pound man who makes $7.5 million next year who's coming off a career-threatening type injury. I mean, there's a lot of information there. You don't have all the information, and that's why I'm not asking you to state your life on it.
But here's what I don't know. Were the Patriots comfortable paying him $7.5 million if he didn't get hurt?
Well, no one knows
that.
And
was Wilfork comfortable doing this redo that we
don't
know?
But no one knows that.
So I'm going to go 50-50. These are two important things I don't know.
But no one knew the first one. No one at all.
Totally agree.
If he went out and had 13.5 sacks and dominated the league like no one has ever seen by a defensive tackle.
Well, I mean, that's silly. He's never done anything close to that in his life.
But that's my point. No one knows.
But I know he's not going to do that.
The one disappointing thing about Wilfork, and I earlier in the show I talked about all the things that he does well. The one disappointing, every year that, you know, they get more and more entrenched in the 4-3, we say, well, now Vince is going to be able to shoot gaps a little bit more and show that, you know, mini sap, baby sap thing that he did in Miami. And he never really has done
that. But they don't really do that.
Yeah.
That's not the style of defense.
It's been disappointing to not ever see that.
And he's also still gets double teamed. I know Bill doesn't like us to talk
about
double teams.
He definitely gets the double teams.
Yeah, he does. He does.
It's hard to shoot gaps when there's two guys making sure there isn't a gap.
Because Joe Villano shot a gap the other night.
Yeah.
But he beat the center. He didn't beat the center and the guard. And that's what Vince has to
do
all the time.
I mean, he didn't even really shoot a gap. He bitch slapped him like Ryan Wendell gets bitch slapped sometimes. You can do that to center sometimes. I don't think Vince has the chance to do that because I don't think there's a team in the league that's going to say, Ryan Wendell,
you got Vince.
Good luck with that.
There's no way that he's going to get.
You know that, you're out of the league. You're Lane Kiffin. Did you see the Lane Kiffin thing?
They took him off the
off
bus.
Off the bus on the tarmac.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was like a.
That's.
Yeah, he got fired in a terminal or something.
Why?
They didn't want him going back to the university with the team.
There certainly seemed to be a lot of personal animosity.
There has to be more to this story.
Well, he's an a-hole.
Well, I think you see enough.
He is a despicable bottom-of-your-shoe human being. But my point is, you've had him with your team for 3-plus years now, and you deemed you couldn't wait 20 minutes. Or whatever it is. He had to be pulled off the bus.
Why wasn't he, you know, why couldn't you just bring him home?
Was he going to steal $1 million when he got back to his office? Was he going to?
Oh, something was up. So, I mean, not like that, but there was something up that forced them to do that, though they felt they had to do it.
Yeah, that's what I need to know.
He had an escalator clause in his contract if he got back in the building.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, if you play X amount of games in the state of California and return to the facility, you make $20 million. Like,
it was odd.
Yeah.
Because I did read that Sunday night. Waiting for you to get back. I think I hit every website out there that, you know, we were allowed to go to.
And is Jack Del Rio going to get the job? Is that what
he's been talked about? Yeah, but
well, that's interesting.
I mean, is he that good a coach?
No.
He's better than
a lot
Lane
better
Kiffin.
Than Lane Kiffin.
I mean, he makes Lane Kiffin look
Here's the thing is we always kind of thought that Jack Del Rio was sort of a, you know, an average black coach when he was on the Jaguars, but at least he took the Jaguars to the playoffs like every other year.
Right.
I think he had like 4 playoff appearances in 8 or 9 years. Look what the Jaguars have done since.
Right, that's true.
Maybe he wasn't that bad.
Let's see. Carl writes in, while the loss of Wilfork is undoubtedly huge, could this possibly be a case of addition by subtraction? Wilfork is a stud in the middle of the line and a key cog in stuffing the run, the foundation of the Bills' defensive philosophy, not the Bills. But if the Patriots were...
Bills.
Yeah, Wilfork didn't play for the Bills.
If the Patriots were able to replace him with a defensive tackle that could be more of an asset in the passing game, a penetrating defensive tackle, insert Andy Laugh, Could this improve the pass defense since, as Paul notes, the running game is obsolete? Just a thought. Go Pats and F the Jets.
Yes, if they could replace him with Geno Atkins, that would be true.
Right.
But we're replacing him with Chris Jones.
Right.
You're like, not going to be replacing it with a guy who is going to set the world on fire as an interior pass rusher.
Now, cap money, building differently moving forward, if he gets cut, blah, 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 save $7 million, five of that goes to something. Okay, long term, sure. That's we've argued that since the day he signed the contract.
Yeah.
Was there value in the big, beefy $40 million defensive tackle? But right now, all you're talking about is, do I claim a guy?
Nope.
There we go.
I don't hear anything.
I'd be curious. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see how teams will if they change anything. You know, it was easy for, you know, smartasses like me to say, well, you know, he missed the whole game the other night. You didn't notice it. Well, you know, Atlanta had a game plan, obviously, and that was not to run the ball. And they were assuming Vince Wilfork is in the middle of that all night. So they ran the ball 15 times. When they ran it reasonably well.
And they also didn't have Steven Jackson.
They just didn't run the ball.
I mean, they could have changed. If Steven Jackson's there, who knows if they say, Chris Jones, let's see.
You know, they averaged 4 yards a carry. They just didn't. They only ran the ball 15 times. I wonder if, you know, now you're coming in and you're Cincinnati, do you say, well, we weren't really going to run the ball with Benny or with Bernard. And Bernard has obviously been the far more effective guy so far for Cincinnati.
What, 2.7 a carry is not good for Benny?
Maybe you look at it and say, well, Vince isn't in there. Maybe I might look at it differently. And I wonder, you know, the Patriots might have to look at that and say, you know, we've been able to really not have Brandon Spikes be part of our game plans 3 out of 4 weeks. The 1 week that he was in there was Tampa Bay, right? Maybe now you need Brandon Spikes on the field a little bit more often.
That's what Bruschi said. That was his first reaction.
That's unfortunate, but I agree with him.
Indiana.
Yeah, he also said we'll have to kind of tweak it and use him basically as your defensive tackle. I didn't really understand what he was saying.
Indiana Matt says, Fred, you're a genius, the only one with enough backbone to predict the Patriots are going to win Sunday. Take a stand for your brilliant vision and don't let Andy, Paul, or Eric try and distort what you said. I believe it was something like, the Falcons are going to win, but I'm taking the Patriots.
I don't think it was something like that. I think it was exactly that.
LT from Adelaide, Australia.
Good night, Mike.
Firstly, I want to comment on Andy's performance in the pregame social. Oh, not only did he not realize that Australia has a north, south, east, and west coast.
I did realize
that. But also
that.
Asking an Irish caller why he wasn't drunk at 12:30 on Monday morning, was Andy at his best? On to football matters.
I still say that's logical.
I thought the score.
He does. He's just talking about it the whole night.
I thought the score at the end of the game wasn't truly indicative of how good the Patriots were. I was most impressed with the defense's ability to get the Falcons' offense off the field, and especially in coverage situations. I thought the pass rush pressure was solid but not great, but I think there has been more coverage sacks this year than I remember in a while. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, because we haven't had coverage in a while.
We just talked about that. I think Tlaib has really helped out the pass rush a lot. I don't know. The whole game, the way the game is being portrayed, I think is kind of interesting. How many different – there's a lot of different – sort of perceptions of the game. I think that's kind of interesting. Everybody watched the same game, but a lot of people got a different view, which I think is kind of, yeah, I think it's good. I think it leads for good analysis.
Rochelle says, I don't think they all played amazingly, but I thought it was pretty cool that all three Patriots quarterbacks won. Yeah, Brian Hoyer, particularly Matt Castle. Did you watch any of that game?
He played really well.
Man, he was firing the ball.
He played really well. I mean, and it helps. You know, he might be good enough to take advantage of Peterson, whereas Ponder wasn't.
Oh, and he did that at times in Kansas City where he used his weapons.
Yeah.
And
they're going to stick with Hoyer in Cleveland, obviously, and I would think at least until they lose.
Yeah, that's because they wanted to lose, and they're like, son of a bitch, this guy's winning. I thought he had a noodle arm.
Well, he does.
Todd in Toronto says, if you remember last Thursday, Todd in Toronto called in and asked about how we would replace Wilfork. I saw that he was not nearly 100% in the first three games, and especially in the game against the Jets. I think he was playing injured, and finally it caught up to him. My issue was that the Patriots seemed to have players that refused to sit out hurt. I hope Amendola or Gronk do not come back too soon. I think the Patriots and the Patriots fans have to learn to be more patient. Too often, it seems that people are rushing back to play too soon. I would call in, but I'm so damn sick I can barely talk. I would hate to be breathing heavily into the phone and getting Fred all excited. I would hate for him to dream about my junk, even if I am miles between us. Oh, and as I said, I threw a fit and nearly got a divorce watching the end of the game. Damn refs, damn Sudfeld,
damn all the rotten breaks at the end.
Damn. Damn refs.
Wow. The refs were terrible for just for the Patriots.
Do you think this team rushes people back too quickly? I mean, is that a fair
I don't think it's any different from any other team.
I don't either. I do think they do, but I think that's generally how business is done in the NFL. I think guys come back quickly.
I think they do too, but I don't watch every single week of every other team, so I can't. Like, immediately in my head, there were plenty of examples that I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But even
like
that,
Vrabel, Hernandez. Remember Hernandez with the knee brace a couple of years ago, and he was like hobbling around?
Last year.
Even forget the pressure that
last year in Seattle. He was limping all over the place.
That was the ankle when he rushed back too quickly.
The ankle, you're right.
The knee brace against Dallas, and they threw deep on like the first play of the game or something.
Twice with Hernandez.
Well, forget about the pressure a team might put on a player. Players have their own pressure that they put on themselves because
that's why they need to be saved from themselves.
The easier you're forgotten.
But they do need to be saved from themselves, too. Somebody needs to step in.
But I do think that's generally the way it is around the league.
If somebody steps in and lights it up, I could lose my job.
Well, of course, but the team still has to exercise some judgment.
Right.
Yeah, but
guess what? If you rush back and get hurt, you could lose your job.
Brandon Whedon wants to get back on the field. He sees Brian Hoyer winning games. But if he's not ready to get back on the field, it doesn't do Brandon Whedon any good or the Browns.
Yeah, but does Brian Hoyer maybe say, I am ready? When he really isn't, just to get back out there.
Of course they do.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So you got to make sure that he doesn't do that, is what I'm saying. You know, the team has to protect the player. That doesn't happen often enough.
You know, player says he's ready, you know.
Of course he does. That's what makes the whole Gronkowski thing so fascinating.
Fred, I tore my ACL and tried to go back in the game. That's what players do.
Right.
Everybody's so done it.
It's not even.
Thankfully, I had a trainer and a doctor that says, you're an idiot. You can't. You blah, blah, blah.
They wouldn't let you.
Right.
But then sometimes you get to that fine line where, he could play and he's saying he's okay. You know, so that's when it, you know, the player has to save himself from, you know.
That's when the team has to step in and say, you're not right. You need more rest.
The players rarely.
When you know that.
Yes.
When you know that, but sometimes you don't know.
You can tell.
We just don't know.
Everything to him. You make fun of me for being 50-50. I mean, you could just.
Well, I thought you held yourself to a higher standard than being compared to Fred.
Chalk up everything to. We just don't know.
That's going to do it.
Really?
Michael, no. If we just don't know, what are we going to talk about?
Michael and Cutter, TD Patriots by Mulligan. Who? I've been watching all preseason and listening to your shows, and I don't recall the name ever being mentioned.
Yes, it did.
I guess Paul's right. Catching passes is just that easy.
Not to some people.
Kembrell Tompkins would disagree. Mulligan was not with the team during training camp in preseason. That's why you didn't hear us talk about him.
We've mentioned him on this show.
But we have mentioned him since he signed prior to week one, then got released prior to week one.
Has a very interesting story that he didn't play high school football, went to a small college, they asked him to play, he played, then went to Maine, ended up in the NFL, and now he's been around for a while.
Hey, he's a journeyman. He's been on like six teams in 5 years.
Unlike Josh Freeman, Fred.
Who's only been on one team.
I'm starting to feel a journeyman doesn't mean he's had a journey.
Yes, it does. A journeyman means he's played on several teams.
Has bounced around between teams.
That's exactly what it means.
Now, journeyman caliber or something of that nature? Okay,
that would make you a Jag.
No.
You called the guy a journeyman who was drafted in the first round and has played for one team.
Journeyman comes from apprentice, journeyman, and master. It's just a different level of experience.
You can tell me what it means.
That's not what it means in sports.
That's not what it means in sports.
I mean, you know.
That's what I refer to.
No, that's not what you were doing.
You're telling me what I was doing?
You were on a sports show and you used the word journeyman. It has a meaning.
I refer to it. It comes from apprentice, journeyman, master. It's a level of experience in your work.
Okay, then Josh Freeman's not a journeyman. He's been in the league for 5 years.
He's not a master.
It didn't say that he was a master, but he's not an apprentice journeyman.
In his ability,
I'll tell you
not
what you
good.
Said.
There's a difference.
You said the Patriots have faced two rookies in blah, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And a journeyman quarterback.
Yeah. So you in no way made it clear you were using some archaic.
It's a matter of ability is what I was referring to.
Now
you just used two different explanations as to
first
your level
you told
of
me
ability.
You were thinking of an apprentice and a and a
right.
That's
and
what
and
it is. It's a matter of ability.
And then you said experience. So he has experience. He just stinks.
Yeah.
Well, you can't bring your own connotations to a sports language.
And you know that a journeyman in sports means that he's been on a lot of teams.
No.
Yeah.
That's not how I refer it. No, I don't know that.
Well,
to use it properly,
I've never used it.
Everybody
in terms
else.
Of how many places he's
Fred,
been?
Everybody
you
else refers
us.
To journeyman as the
Fred,
journey.
You
they're
edit
wrong.
Our stories.
They're not wrong.
You should know what sports lingo
I'm
means.
I'm telling you, that's wrong. That journeyman comes from apprentice, journeyman, and master.
In sports, it does not. It comes from he's a man who's journeyed from different people.
Well, then in football, a bomb refers to a long pass. That's not what it means.
The ball doesn't actually blow up when it hits the ground.
It's a misuse of journeyman then.
No, it isn't. Not in sports.
It's a different connotation in sports.
Is that a misuse of bomb? Because it doesn't actually blow up.
Oh, okay.
That's
the same thing, Fred.
No, it isn't.
There are a lot of terms in sports that only mean what they
you
mean.
You put us to shame. I don't ever want to hear you say we're being stupid, we're being stubborn, we're being handy.
I'm telling you, that's where it comes from, and that's how
it, I don't care
that
where
might
it comes
be where
from.
The word comes from, Fred. In sports, the word journeyman refers to a guy who's played on a lot of teams.
This is a good one, by the way.
It's just like a long bomb. It does not refer to as something that's going to explode.
That's just dumb writers at the Herald doing it. I can't, you know.
You've never corrected it once when we've done it.
It's amazing how infrequently.
And I know in previews he has written, you know, journeyman quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick or journeyman quarterback Dan Orlovsky, and you thought it simply meant he hadn't apprenticed long enough with a freaking shoemaker?
He's not good.
He hasn't raised to the level, yes.
Well, it does mean he's not good, because generally when you bounce around from all those teams, it means you're not good.
So then I'm right.
No, you're not.
Warren Moon was a journeyman quarterback. He's in the Hall of Fame.
See, I wouldn't call. See, in my book, he wouldn't be a journeyman.
Yeah, but your book is not read by anybody but you.
Your book is stupid. Yeah. You can't have your own, like... You're bringing your own meaning to words that everybody else doesn't
use. That's not my own meaning.
But you are. You just said
it in
your
book. But in a sports context, you're using it in your own way. In a sports context, that's what people refer to as a journeyman, a guy who's played on a lot of teams.
I mean, words have meaning in sports, Fred. Like, I can say I traveled to Nova Scotia. That just means I traveled. I took a trip. But if I say I traveled, it means I took an extra step if I'm playing basketball.
Exactly. There's different words that mean different things.
You have to use the words within
the
confines.
I've always used it that way. That's the way I have used it.
But do you use it in sports at all?
No.
Oh, why? Everybody else does.
And yet he broke it out last week.
Right, he broke it. He had a 20-second segment where he had to make a point, and he used journeyman.
You know, classic. The one time. But that's where I use it. That's how I learned what journeyman is, apprentice, master.
So you immediately
expected
listeners.
But I'm not arguing with you
listeners.
About your origin of the word. I'm saying in the sports connotation, it's different than that.
So you immediately thought your listeners would say, oh, he's talking about obviously like an apprentice.
Yes.
No
There's
one
not
did.
One person that
nobody
thought
of
it that
in the way. 0.6 rating we got thought that.
Half of the people that heard that said, who else did Josh Freeman play for other than Tampa Bay? And the other half said, why is he calling him a journeyman? He's only been on Tampa Bay.
Yeah, see, that's how I refer to journeyman. That's my idea of what a journeyman is.
It's wrong.
You know? There's no reason to call anyone else a journeyman, because that's what it is to me.
You're really going down with this.
Andy Dalton, journeyman?
Absolutely.
Andy Dalton, journeyman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'd call him.
I am forfeiting my trophy as the most stubborn individual on this show.
No question.
I mean, actually, Dalton would be an apprentice if in that speak. You know, he hasn't even raised to that level.
He needs to ascend to journeyman?
to me, a journeyman is a guy who's been around a while who hasn't really gotten that good. That's what it is. You know?
I can't get in your head, so I don't know what values you assign to words.
I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to work on like a Paul glossary.
Just the words that you're going to use?
I'm going to make up words and use them only in a way that I know.
Like Eckersley.
So Josh in Vermont, a journeyman is someone who has completed an apprenticeship and is fully educated in a trade or craft, but not yet a master.
So in sports, that's what he says when he calls a guy a journeyman quarterback.
Fred, just for the record, I never, ever doubted your origin.
He says a journeyman is a skill reference, not a well-traveled player. Otherwise, Fred is right. Leave him alone.
I never, ever doubted your origin of the word.
They're all saying I'm right.
As soon as you said, not in
all,
sports.
One Googled it and just got the Webster's Dictionary definition,
right.
And the other's an idiot.
I'm just asking you. And when I say you, I mean our listeners. What do you think of when you hear in sports a player referred to as a journeyman?
He's not that good. He's been around a while, but he's not good.
Of course they're not that good, because they've been on five teams.
Well, whatever the reason.
If they were any good, they wouldn't go anywhere.
James Pettigrew, the most famous Patriots fan in the world, says, that's what you get for working with journeyman journalist Fred. You'll always be a master to me. Screw the Jets and Eric the Apprentice.
Unfortunately, we're not
journeyman. Eric would absolutely qualify. He's been in a million different jobs.
That is true.
Failed at them all.
Paul and I are...
I've only had two jobs in my whole life.
I've only had one.
And people wonder, where's Eric when you need him? Because Eric would be the final arbiter.
I want to reiterate, Fred, that I never once doubted your origin of the word for a second.
No,
You said that so matter-of-factly.
It was just used
that I had problem. No doubt that you were correct on that.
And you know, maybe you guys... I'm not doubting that you guys always think it's a well-traveled person.
In sports.
In sports.
It's a guy who's been on a lot of teams.
But to me... anytime I've heard someone refer to anyone, sports or otherwise, as a journeyman, it's someone who's been doing it for a while, but it's not that good.
John Rook, journeyman quarterback. What do you think of when you hear the term journeyman quarterback?
Well, that's a good one. I'd say
I didn't really think it was that hard.
No, well, I mean, journeyman.
Maybe I'm wrong.
That's what you said.
Gail Gilbert.
No. But what?
Never even heard of Gail
when
Gilbert.
When you describe someone as a journeyman,
a guy
what
who's
does
been
that
on
mean?
Had a
guy
lot of stops.
Guy who's been around for a number of years,
right?
Guy who's been around for a number of years has had probably two or three stops.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, is a valuable like backup type that could start in
page.
A pinch,
right? But does he have to have had a lot of stops?
I guess I'd had more than one.
So Josh Freeman is
Josh Freeman, journeyman quarterback?
No.
Fred. Bing, 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 bing.
And that's from
he's
the guy who wrote the book
he's
on
gone
broadcasting.
To multiple teams.
And
no, see, the way I use journeyman
small state.
Is from its origin, that he's been around a while, but he's not that good.
And again, Fred,
he hasn't raised his level to
I don't
that.
Doubt, I, think journey, I don't doubt your origin at all there.
Yeah, but the journeyman, the term journeyman actually goes back to, I believe, the era of like Earl Morrill. When he, you know, moved back and forth between Baltimore
journeyman
and
goes back to apprentice, journeyman, master. That's how they used
but
to.
But he's talking.
I'm talking
sports.
About it in a football sense.
I know. But that's the origin.
That's all I needed,
Fred,
right there.
You
I'm
work
talking
in
a football sense.
You're acting like Eric right now. You work in sports.
That's exactly
you
what you're acting like. And that is an unbelievable
lingo.
Slap in the face.
Sorry, Fred.
You're in the dictionary,
like,
journeyman is a
like
worker
Eric.
Or
no one cares about the dictionary.
Hey, shut up. A worker or sports player who is a reliable but not outstanding. In their craft.
It's just wrong.
That says
that's
right
fair.
Here.
That's fair.
It's wrong. You
that's
have to
fair,
have played
but
for multiple
term,
teams.
The term well, journeyman, though.
Now you're arguing with the dictionary.
What dictionary? Because anybody can throw their name on Merriam-Webster
yeah,
and call
I don't
themselves
have,
a dictionary.
I don't have any problem with the dictionary. That's
yeah,
not. I'm not asking for the.
Is.
I'm not asking for the literary definition
the term
of the word.
Journeyman, as far as it relates to football, relates to a player who has bounced around. Period.
Thank you, John Rook.
Period.
Thank you, John
that's all,
Rook.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not doubting your definition of the word. I'm not doubting your origin of the word.
Absolutely.
I'm just telling you.
All of that
in
I agree.
Football,
absolutely.
Journeyman means a guy who's played on more than one
okay.
team in all sports.
Correct.
If a guy ever shows up at my house when I call a plumber and he says he's a journeyman, I say, Fred said you're not that good. Get the hell out.
I've actually read other books besides Sports Illustrated, so I actually
and that's
know
fine.
Eric.
And that is
that,
that
is why
true.
You're being Eric. That is why you're being Eric, because you're not acknowledging
like
your audience.
And hey,
again,
John, how you doing?
It's why
I'm
we're
great,
making
Fred.
Fun of you for being like Eric.
Eric.
But you guys doubt
you're too
my,
pompous. No,
like,
I did not
you
doubt.
You didn't mean that. You didn't mean
we
that.
We doubted
like,
your usage. And you meant the wrong thing, by the way. You meant the wrong thing. Because, I'm going to say it very simply.
So,
you're talking to a sports audience about a sports player. When you call him a journeyman, it means he's bounced
and
around.
And let me ask you something else. In using it your way, you said it's apprentice, journeyman, master?
Yeah.
Then Josh Freeman's not a journeyman. He has not gotten out of the apprentice stage.
Well, that's your opinion.
What opinion do you have of his
he's
play?
He's been around a while, but he's not
stiff.
That good.
He's a stiff.
He hasn't been around that long.
And plus, he never apprenticed. Because to apprentice, that's he would have had to have a starter in front of him to learn under, right?
I would.
Tom Brady, apprentice.
Well, he sat as a rookie,
and then he,
right?
Yeah, but did he have a starter in front of him?
Well, if he didn't fine, play, then he had a starter.
No, but I mean, when you apprentice behind somebody who knows the craft, right?
Right.
So Brady apprenticed sort of behind Bledsoe. Right? Please. Josh Freeman has never apprenticed behind anybody.
Well, all right.
It was Josh Johnson, wasn't it? He was replaced? The other Jag?
So we were led to the Super Bowl in 2001 by a journeyman quarterback. Okay.
Paul's out. All right, John. What's going on Playbook?
Nitpick Tuesday, baby. We're going to see what we can't find, but I think we probably can.
You might want to focus on the last, like, 6 minutes of the game. There was plenty
I think
there
will be plenty that we will probably focus on in that last 6 minutes.
Right.
And maybe some worthwhile suggestions for how to fill Vince's prodigious shoes in the middle of that line.
Okay,
now,
good.
What is the origin of prodigious mean? Is that a sports term? Or
I got
that
from Eric.
Plumbing. That's a good answer.
Thank you.
All right, that's Playbook and Fantasy Football Champs coming out at 4. I guess everyone's in the middle of the seasons. I don't know what's going on with Fantasy Football. I don't know if this is the end of the season or what, but that'll be coming up at 4 o'clock.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.